Blog Talk Radio.
Did you know that the Hair Radio Show with Carrie Hines is the longest-running radio broadcast on hair and beauty talk in the world? It's a broadcasting hair industry institution. Be a live guest on air and join our long list of amazing celebrities and hair and beauty industry luminaries who've all been on our show. Give our office team a call at 833-402-8882. Again, that's 833-402-8882. Or visit us on...
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines.
Hair Radio. He's the host with the most, Mr. Carrie Hines.
Good morning, and welcome to an all-new live edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're the longest-running daily live broadcast on hair in the world, 25 years and counting. Now, on today's broadcast, we've got the latest in hair and beauty talk, great music, and much, much more. I must thank our Carapi Hair Products, Hair Nation Expo events, Salon TV Network, and all of our amazing advertisers who are responsible for getting this episode on the air. Now, if today is your first time tuning in, thank you. And remember to press 1 to make a live comment or shout-out during the show. We're here each weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 5 to 8 Central. Now grab your cup of coffee and enjoy today's show.
Body parts bought from the store.
For real.
Everybody got a cash app. His baby mama trying to find out where the cash at. He spent the rent money on the stripper. His boys pumped him up and told him, stripper. Them same homeboys trying to get his girl. Then he found that she like girl. It's a cold game trying to fit in. Mama can't control her, competition kicks in.
Dang.
Then she tried to be a rapper.
Dang.
Thought she had game, but the game got her. They ain't believe that me greasy. This new generation think it's easy.
It's
ruthless game protocol. Respect those that came before you. Downfall.
You don't get or you get better. You get better. You don't get or you get better. You get better with time.
That's what it is.
You don't get or you get better. You get better. You don't get or you get better.
It gets better
with time.
Giving up the yak. Hate the average rapper, can't hold the real one back.
Nah.
Big boots banging. Granny gang slanging.
Slangin'.
Get your money, boo, you too sharp for gang banging. See, I'm an heiress. The queen can't compare. It gets better with time. I've been with the business.
For real.
Already listed. Wikipedia.
Wikipedia.
Check my IMDb. Check my social media. Come on.
Man.
Numbers don't make me. What if she fake? They all buy streams.
That part.
All y'all sound the same.
For real, though.
Thirsty.
Hey.
Hope
to get better.
You don't get or you get better.
Get better.
You get better.
For real.
You don't get or you get better.
Come on.
You get better with time.
Yeah.
You don't get or you get better.
Yeah.
You get better.
You don't get or you get better.
Yeah.
It gets better with time.
Yo,
you don't get old, you get better.
Yeah.
Original game got this, still weather. Be getting down like them goons that get cheddar.
Shut
baby
up.
Like come to the room, but I ain't her.
I ain't her.
Baby like thought you was wild. I be like, nah boo, that's where it stops. No pennies drop, off top. Only thing drop is the album, go cop. Yeah.
You get better. You get better.
Yeah.
Get better.
Get better.
Hey, you get better. You get better. You get better.
Ladies, do you love a man with a well-groomed and sexy beard? Men, do you suffer from patchiness or irritation and want a fuller beard? Well, let me introduce you to the hottest beard care products on the market. Rugged Evolution features 16 amazing balms, oils, shampoos, and accessories. Our products are sure to meet the demands of all your beard care needs. For more information, go to ruggedevo.com. That's ruggedevo.com.
And remember, rugged is the new smooth.
I'm Maggie Anderson. I am the creator of the Empowerment Experiment and the author of Our Black Year, my family's year-long stand, completely living off of Black-owned businesses. When we decided to take on this public pledge, we had no idea how hard it would be. There was only one Black-owned grocery store in all of Illinois, and that grocery store closed 5 months before we finished our year. And I have two little girls. There means no fresh milk, no fresh meats, no fresh produce. But I put them through that because we took the stand and we wanted really to do something extreme out of love for our community, to expose how few Black businesses there still are, to refute negative stereotypes about Black-owned businesses, and to expose economic injustice that still persists in America. After the year, I decided that I could not go back to corporate. I could not go back to law. I've made this issue of economic racism and really trying to create economic empowerment in our Black community my life. The Black hair care firms, they sustained the civil rights movement. Black women created these companies, huge, thriving companies, and we needed that. We talk about Black Wall Street now because we shine a light on what happened in Tulsa. Most Black neighborhoods were anchored by these Black Wall Streets. And if we could bring that back, America would be better. I'm not saying bring all of it back. That would probably be impossible. But we can bring Black hair care back. There are great Black hair care companies that exist, Black-owned hair care companies that exist right now. And it would be wonderful for, in America, just like other groups own their culturally relevant products and industries, that the Black community can own the biggest Black hair care brands, that the Black community can own Black beauty supply stores. 3% of the beauty supply stores in Black neighborhoods, and Black people know what I'm talking about. If you go into a Black neighborhood, you're going to see a beauty supply store, and they're going to sell all the Black hair care products that only Black people use, and they are not owned by Black people. So I've issued the Black-owned hair care challenge, just asking everyday folks to say, hi, my name is Maggie Anderson, and I accept the Black-owned hair care challenge, and tell the world that from now on, if I'm going to buy Black hair care products, I'm going to make sure it's from a Black-owned company.
Favorite guest. I've been asked who my favorite guest is, or who were some of the interviews that really kind of stick out with you, or some kind of variation thereof. I'm Carrie Hines, And I have to say, in honor of looking at our big milestone of the Hair Radio Morning Show, it's given me some time to reflect. And I wanted to share some of these reflections with you guys, the fans of the broadcast. Let me say, thinking about guests, it gives me that doing the Hair Radio Morning Show is a great joy because I get to live out, meeting my heroes, growing up and listening to amazing singers, watching amazing television actors and movie stars, and then getting an opportunity to literally talk to them, and they know my name. It's been extraordinary. And so to think some of the most influential artists of our time, we've had an opportunity to welcome right here to the Hair Radio Morning Show. Folks like, of course, the legendary multi-Grammy award-winning We Are the World singer, Miss Dionne Warwick, who worked, of course, on that project with Lionel Richie, Michael Jackson, Tina Turner, Cyndi Lauper, Diana Ross. The list just goes on and on and on. And so to have this amazing artist, Miss Warwick, to even know who I am, let alone to join me live on the Hair Radio Morning Show for a special interview, was quite remarkable. And now, I had already interviewed Dionne's sister, Dee Dee, who had passed away several years back. And I had interviewed Dee Dee twice. And Dee Dee's voice to me, I never will forget her voice. It sounded so much like Dionne's voice. So this was great. When I had a chance to talk to Dionne prior to me conducting the interview, I remember I had a chance to catch Ms. Warwick's ear, and I said, you know, I interviewed your sister Dee Dee, not once, but twice. And it was always one of my favorite interviews, just the most beautiful voice. And so, they had a big group, the Drinker Sisters and all of that. And so, great thing. So when I'm asked about my favorite guest, Dionne Warwick has to be way up high. It's two thumbs up. The Hair Radio Morning Show goes to the movies. It's our brand new Movie Talk radio segment. Listen live. Tune in right here on our broadcast for our unique review of the latest movie. Join us live on the air to chat. It's Movie Talk on the Hair Radio Morning Show. The Let Your Spirit Soar segment on the Hair Radio Morning Show is about getting your day and ours started with positive thoughts, well wishes, great quotes, and amazing affirmations. So if you have one you'd like to share, please send it through our Salon TV Network app, and we'll get it featured on the air. I'm Carrie Hines. You're invited to be part of our new limited radio broadcast series, Talking About Cosby. It's our chance to collectively delve into the life and career and legacy of Bill Cosby, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, we've got great on-air commentators who will be lending their voices to this complex man's story, and we want to hear from you. Our mid-show hour from 7 to 8 a.m. Eastern, 6 to 7 Central, it's your chance to call in and speak live on the air. Go to our Facebook page, The Hair Radio Morning Show, for complete details. You're listening to The Hair Radio Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now today we have a very special guest with us. She's from the world of music. It's Miss Dionne Warwick. Dionne, welcome to the Hair Radio Show.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
Well, it's my pleasure. Now, I want to just jump right on in. You have a marvelous new CD that's out.
Yep,
Feel So Good. What can you tell us about it?
Oh, well, I think the title speaks for itself. It really is one of those CDs that, while you're listening to it, it makes you feel good.
Yes. Now, you are working. Yeah, absolutely. And I've listened to it. So you've got some heavy hitters on here along with you. Speaking of which, what can you tell us? Because you've worked, I mean, you're talking about some of the biggest stars out there today. Everybody from Neo and Ziggy Marley and Cyndi Lauper. And what can you tell us about this process, getting these artists, choosing these artists? So there's some stories I understand.
Yeah, well, actually, I had nothing to do with it.
Other than providing that beautiful voice of yours.
One of the artists, that's all I was. My son, Damon Elliott, came to me with this project, and he felt that it was one that it would be a lot of fun to do and give me exposure to who I call the babies and have an opportunity mm-hmm. to work with them. And so he really put everything together. When I made the calls to the artists that are represented on the CD, and each of the artists were asked what would be their favorite song of mine that they'd like to sing with me on a duet. Uh-huh. And so they chose their own songs and put their own spin on it, and the only requirement that I made personally was that the integrity of each song would remain. And they uh-huh. came with their A game, and so we got a Feel So Good CD.
You've got a Feel So Great CD. Yes, we love it. We absolutely love it. Now, I want to ask you, because and I read somewhere that, you know, that you might have been surprised if they were as familiar with some of the songs because they got to choose, as you just said. But, I mean, unless you've been living under a rock, how on God's earth do you not have a favorite Dionne Warwick song? So everybody is familiar with you. Absolutely. And I just want to make that clear. When we told the fans of the Hair Radio show that you were coming on our show, the feedback over the social media just went berserk. So, so we want to pass that along. So they'll all be out to support this wonderful project that you have.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have to ask you, you come from such a legendary music family, and you guys have been, and you started out in the church. And I know you've been asked, but what were some of the biggest influences, on your career? Can you share, just a couple? I know you told this many times.
Well, coming from a family of singers, my first influences, of course, would be them.
Mm-hmm.
And coming out of a household of music all the time, you know, my mom was a huge fan of Dinah Washington, and she went to school with Sarah Vaughan, so Aunt Sass was always in our home, and as we were in hers. And my dad loved Nat King Cole and Roy Orbison, and so it just was a natural thing for me to have music as part of my life. You know, the old saying, the apple doesn't fall that far from the tree. So you look at all those types of influences around you, you kind of, I'm a Duke's mixture of everybody that musically I was influenced by.
Wow. Now, I have to say, and we're going to definitely get more into your current project with Feel So Good. But I also have to ask you, because I understand that you have an interior design company. Now, is this so?
Yes, it's quite true. I've been in interior design for the past, so it's got to be at least 25 years now. And it's been a deep, dark secret. Nobody even knew we did it, but those that we did work for in the past 20-some-odd years. My partner and I, Bruce Garrick, have done several homes and offices, and we even did a train. Our last project was in Chicago. We did the interior for the Black Ensemble Theater. So, it's something I felt we need now to let people know this is something else that Dionne Warwick does, and we do it very, very well, and they can find us on our website to take a look at the work that we have done. And then give us a call and let us do some magic for your homes or whatever it is that you want to beautify. And I'm going to give you the website, okay? And that
sure.
is www.wggdesignlab.com.
Wonderful. Now, this is something, where do you get the inspiration for some of those designs?
You know, it's all in what the client desires. You know, I make it very, very clear when we interview the client, we do a client analysis, you know, to find out what colors they like, what they don't like, the fabrics they may be allergic to, the fabrics that they love, the colors, all those things that are necessary for them to be comfortable where we're going to do the work. And I let them know immediately that what they want is what they will be getting, because they're the ones who have to live in that environment. And I think that's the only way that you successfully create what people desire.
Absolutely. Now, I guess this is because it's also in that creative family. So this is terrific. What is, and that's something, as you said, that's was a little known secret till now. What else can you tell us or share with us that someone might be surprised about Dionne Warwick?
Oh,
and that's a loaded question.
You know, I have basically lived an open book. Everything that people think they know about me, unless they ask me, they consider to be true. But there are moments where I said, "Where did that come from?" You know, I'm as surprised as most people are. But you know, I have. Been a person that has been approachable. People have been able to say hello to me, and I say hello back to them. So I don't think there's anything about me that most people don't know.
Well, you know something? I have a question for you that is a little different, because I don't, you know, I just want to get your feedback on this. It's something that I've enjoyed, which was the Solid Gold Years, the television show that you hosted. Do you think that the Solid Gold today, like the show that you guys did, do you think that it would be a hit today?
Absolutely.
I always wanted to ask you that.
I think it would be. As a matter of fact, I've on a couple of occasions approached Tribune to consider revamping the show. The show is one that was the precursor to American Idol, to The Voice, to all of the shows that are now promoting new talent. And that's all the Solid Gold ever did, was to promote talent that was just coming out with new recordings and giving exposure to them internationally as well as throughout the United States. So, nothing is new, in other words. You know, it's just a matter of bring it into the century that we happen to be in, and that's the 21st century. And I think that Solid Gold would do exceptionally well today.
Absolutely. Now, what is next for you, Ms. Warwick? What's next? What's next?
Well, I am, of course, I'm out here promoting the CD. They all think I'm 3 years old again.
We're talking about feel so good.
But after, we get to the point where I can say, okay, can I take a minute to me? That's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to take some time for me.
Wonderful. Well, listen, I want to, I can't let you go from the Hair Radio Show without talking about this wonderful sense of style that you're known for being elegant and beautiful. Where did that come from? Was that something through the labels, or where did that start in something that you're bringing to this? Where did it come from?
You know, first of all, my mommy. My mother was one of the most stylish people I've ever seen. And then, of course, I had beautiful aunts who were also very, very much into style and being presentable as ladies. I was fortunate enough to have two major, major mentors, icons in our industry. One was Lena Horne, and the other was Marlena Dietrich. Marlena Dietrich actually introduced me to a thing called couture, much
wow.
to the chagrin of my accountants. And of course, Lena was one that always I looked at as a style icon. So, and I was fortunate enough to be able to call both of them without my mommy being upset about it. In fact, she gave me permission that I could call both of them mama, and they treated
wow.
me like I was their daughter. So I guess, you know, with the conglomeration of all these wonderful ladies, I had no choice but to look like I looked.
Wonderful. Well, listen, the last big question I have for you, the music industry today. And again, a little question. I know that it has obviously it's changed over the years, especially since you started your magnificent career. But
oh, yeah.
What can you tell us today that, you know what, you say, you know what, this is not, you know, this is something that's good, or it's developed into something that you didn't expect about the music industry or the direction it's taken?
Well, it has taken 360, not a 180, a 360. It's another industry altogether today. It's just more a marketing industry than it was in the 60s when I started. You know, the things that were available to us who are part of my era just are not available any longer. You know, if you don't have 95 dancing girls and boys and flags flying and smoke bombs going off and
right.
presenting yourself in a what I call a ladylike position, it's you know, you just... what the babies call old school, you know, and I always answer that with, well, there had to be an old school before there was a new one. So, but it is a marketing industry today. Everybody is marketed to the hilt. So, you know, it's just another industry altogether. There's basically no more record stores where you can walk in and actually touch and see and buy directly. You know, you go to your computer now, and
right.
all the technologies of the youth are being portrayed today. So, and I'm certain it was the same way with me. You know, with the industry when I was coming along. You know, we had certain things that we did, certain people that supported us, and that's what's going on today. So, the babies are running the industry.
Feel So Good is the new CD.
Mm-hmm. Sure is. And that's what it'll make everybody do.
Well, we are just thrilled, and we want to talk a whole lot about it. We want our folks out there to make certain and get the CD. Now, they can, of course, it's on iTunes and all the places that you buy music.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to thank you so very much. Now, should we just... is there one particular song on there that, you know, that you feel like, you know what, this is it, like that's the top song, any that yeah. you feel most connected to?
I got to say that they're all A+.
Yeah.
Every single artist on the CD brought their A game, and so any one of them would be my pleasure for you to play.
On that note, I want to thank you for being with us on the Hair Radio Show. Just a fantastic CD. Again, it's Feel So Good by Ms. Dionne Warwick and others. So thank you so much for being with us today.
I thank you.
You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show with Terry Hines. Stay tuned.
So did you have a good return visit this morning, Jaimisha?
Yes, oh my goodness, yes, I love the Hair Radio Show, I love, very empowering, it gets me, you know, motivated in the morning to move forward and do what I do, so I love, like being here.
Oh, that is just awesome. Jaimisha has now, again, Wig Talk, Wednesday morning. 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central Time Zone, right here where she's giving you the latest. And again, across the board, it's not
your great grandma wig show, okay?
No,
no. A whole lot going on with wigs. And I had just started the Hair Radio Association. Do you recall this conversation, Wayne?
No doubt. And I thought it was a very important one because we talked about the nexus between the beauty industry and the community, and how powerful historically the beauty industry has been for every community, but particularly communities of color, where we don't always have these private spaces where our political and cultural conversations take place, but they do take place in the beauty salon and the barbershop. In fact, it is so important that, you know, people feel it's a safe place. They talk, they can commune. It crosses classes. So you can be in the barbershop with, you know, somebody who may make their income on the other side of the law with the judge.
Exactly.
Because we all go to the barbershop, or we all go to the beauty salon, and we have these what I call sacred conversations, because we are blunt and honest, and you know,
yeah.
I mean, it's such a cultural phenomenon.
Women,
they had to
it
make
seems like we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders, and that weight is directly balanced between your 2 feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? It's not the kids; it's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women, and Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit fixyourfeet.com. Providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
I was just thinking, and, you know, that's a very dangerous thing for me, but I was thinking about some directions of media, especially, and some of the moguls. One was featured recently on one of my favorite other shows, The Sunday Morning, and they were talking about Byron Allen and all the things that he's done with media. And they had something with Robert Townsend and Keenan Wayans and all this stuff, even, you know, Camu Bell and Spike Lee. And I thought, wow, those are, you know, impressive people in, you know, in my little mind. But then it's like, you know, I'm kind of wondering, do they know how Carrie Hines fits into this? Because you have been part of a media, I won't say frenzy, you've been part of the media and made some very, very important inroads and, you know, connections that I think that somebody needs to explore and write about or talk about or tell about. So I'm thankful that you're going to help me look back and kind of document some of the things that you have contributed to media and some of the people and lives that you've touched, because I think it's really important, and people don't know because you're so humble. And if you would, just indulge me and share with the listeners some of the things that you do as Carrie Hines.
Mary, just to even hear you speak of me like that is just, I can't even begin to tell you how profound that is. And when you mentioned folks like Byron Allen, I caught the tail end of that about Byron Allen. And I, on this amazing Sunday news program that I watch, and I'm going to Google it so I can see the whole piece, because I'm so motivated by individuals like Mr. Allen and so many others who demand to be treated with respect and demand that our community is respected with regards to broadcasting and communication and recognizing the talents and contribute, you know, what we've contributed. And so I'm all in. And I also want to extend the same kind of greeting to you and what you've been able to accomplish, Mary Reed Johnson, and with Hair, Head, Heart. So thank you. Thank you very much for that wonderful intro.
Absolutely. And there's so many ways that we can start, but I'm thinking I'll start with kind of the 6 degrees of separation
yes.
Because I know you've had some of these topics and you've addressed them before they were, you know, addressed by, you know, some names that, you know, may have ties with whatever media source. And so let's maybe start with one. Let's talk about Cosby. And, you know, the show that you did, how did you come up with the idea to even approach that? And this was, you know, light years. I know who Camu Bell is, of course, but light years before this project was going, I think you had already addressed it. I mean, it went as it was unfolding. So how did you even come up with that, you know, feeling that pulse that maybe it needed to have a discussion?
Well, first, Mary, thank you so much. And I just want to preface all this by saying I don't know where Mary is going with whatever she wants to know, but the annals are open. Our archives are open, and I told her she has free rein to ask me anything that she wishes for you guys to know. So I'm glad you mentioned this. We did a piece called About Cosby and talking about Cosby. And I remember the graphic and the whole idea. And I had this inspiration from, you know, let me preface everything by saying let's go back to listen back for a moment on this, because a lot of what we do at Hair Radio and the Hair Radio Morning Show is steeped in coverage or revisiting topics and things that might make the general broadcast media a tad on the uncomfortable side. And it's not meant to do that. It's not designed to do that. It is for us to be able to be offer a bit of realism to the Black experience. And we welcome everybody to that experience. Doesn't matter who you are, what race or nationality or any of that stuff. But we wanted to take a look. I notice for the most part that when I look at media, I see a divide. I see that there is a way that it appears to me anyway, that, you know, folks outside of our community, you know, will listen or view discussions or topics or what have you, and folks that are inside of our community will view and listen and weigh in on different topics. And it can be largely said, of course, folks with shared experiences tend to have similar beliefs and all of that. So I can understand that. And folks outside of the community are looking inside or looking from the outside to what they perceive to be how we are. So that's kind of how that is. So when you are telling a story, whether it's my show or the general media out there, you're telling it from that perspective. And if you don't have folks from this community, from our community, being part of those stories being told, well, they're not going to really tell it with the kind of real cultural connection that it needs to have. I'll give you a quick case in point, then I'll circle back to your question about Cosby. I was watching, like during the month of February, you'll always hear of Black History Month, and that's all wonderful and great. But I noticed a lot on local news, whenever that month comes around, and this is a good lesson for any time that you're listening to this wonderful piece today, but what I've noticed is that oftentimes the discourse or what the local news is doing, they're not really telling you stories about Black history. They will take a story about a person, a Black person of note, who might now be running a cookie stand or whatever, and they will talk about that on their newscast and then put the moniker or the banner up there, Black History Month or what have you, when the real truth is all that they are doing is doing what they should be doing anyway, which is inclusivity about African Americans, just like other cultures should be represented. And so, but the thing is, it's not Black history. It's black people, yep. But it's not really black history. If you want
right.
to talk about the what the contributions of our ancestors have done for America, then talk about that. But you're not, you know, they think that just by showing black people and putting the banner black, you know, that already tells me who's in your newsroom and what your discourse is doing and where there's a disconnection. So I don't want to be part of that, which is not organic for me. I want an organic experience each morning, and I want that experience to be shared by the folks who tune in. So there are, you know, I've never wanted to just, you know, when I like just to look at the shows and not, you know, even if they have black people on their newscast, I'll tell you, you know, it's not, there's not an organic feeling for me. It's just, I see folks, and my favorite one is where you'll have folks who may be black, who, you know, where folks outside the community look and they think they're kind of maybe not black, and I'm looking at them thinking that they kind of might be black, and somebody else is, because they, it's like I call them real, you know, invisible, kind of that can fit into anybody's
well,
mindset. You
commitment. I think it's a commitment to whether it's community or colorization or perspective or heart. All of those, you know, are things that you can, you know, paint and make it seem if like. XYZ, even though in reality it's not too hard to scratch that surface and see the reality, which is that, you know, more than 98% of the media comes from an exclusive source. We'll just
right.
put it that way.
Exactly.
And so this is not a new story, but what I like about Hair Radio Network and what you do, Carrie, is that you are more genuine and don't seem to be afraid to have whomever, whatever story, and it's their story, you know, and you know, you invite them to present it. And I think that's very healthy. And again, you haven't been, it's not like your first time at the rodeo. You've been doing this for, what, 29 years or thereabouts? How long have you been?
Somewhere around there. we'll park it on that one. That's a good number to park
okay,
it on.
Okay.
But Mary, I do just, yes, in closing on that, I do want to just mention that, you know, my whole point was that you have these different newsrooms locally who generally don't include folks of, I don't see it with my eyes so much, especially here in my market, with the darker hues. And, but what I will find are folks who are totally the opposite, where it just does, it's not inclusive. And you feel that when you look at these things. And this is something that seems to be missing across the board, generally speaking. Now, when it comes to the Cosby conversation, that was my whole reason for thinking about Cosby, first of all, because when I thought about this and had the inspiration, it was from he had just been sent off to prison. You could see in the news coverage that to say it was slanted is like is the understatement of the year. And so it was in the midst of all of the you know, the confrontations.
Me
with,
Too moment.
Yeah, the Me Too type movement and all of these things bubbling up to the surface. But there was a tinge of, you know, of other conversations that seemed to be the discourse that they were trying to bring to the surface, and that was color. And so with Bill Cosby's story, and again, he had just been sent off to prison, and the negative onslaught, and this is not to discuss whether or not he's innocent, as far as I'm concerned, or guilty. I have no idea. But what I do know is that the from my perspective, the lens was very different from what seemed to be, again, the folks inside versus outside the community. So as we moved along with his story that we've been kind of brought into this with local news media and the coverage of it. And I just kind of thought that it was time to visit this after he had been away for some time, incarceration, and or incarcerated. So I thought it was a good time that we should brush off this story that seemed to be, as far as the discourse I got from the media, was to lock him up, throw away the key.
Right. And, well, I saw, and again, not to say whether he's guilty or innocent. I mean, everybody's guilty of something. Everybody, you know, just being responsible for your actions, whether you positioned yourself in someone's lair or, you know, whatever. I'm not going to retry that. But I also want to look at the concept of character assassination, and I want to look at the stereotypes, and I want to look at people being responsible and not responsible, on and on and on. There's just a myriad of directions we could go. But for him, one of the things that I would say, because you mentioned colorization, he was the first one, like they can pinpoint that this was the first leading black actor. He wasn't a subservient, he wasn't a lackey, whatever. He had equal footing with his co-actor, I guess, in I Spy, Robert Culp, right? They had equal roles, basically, and, you know, a little trendy. But he actually saw somebody being painted up in blackface who was going to be his stunt double for whatever episode, and he stood up and he's like, well, I'm thinking there's somebody who you could get who's already black, you know, that type of thing. So he opened up the door for that. He opened up the door for actors of all hues and all ages. You know, he did a lot of good. So to say that he's an imperfect person, I'm not necessarily shocked. I'm not necessarily saying he wasn't acting in some cultural ways that were accepted at the time. But the punishment and the crime don't seem to fit. I'm not going to judge that. But I'm looking at the good that he did as a black man in a very I want to say disadvantaged, but an unequal setting. And he still stood up and he still did good and right things, just like Hazel Scott. And, you know, we have more than one, but he had his longevity and the numbers of paths that he opened up for other people, clean comedians, you know, all kinds of things. I think that those just shouldn't be thrown out with the bathwater. You can't undo the good that he did, you know. So I think if people take a listen to that discussion, I think they will be reminded of all the layers that go into being a celebrity and all the layers that go into being a black celebrity, and even the more layers and amounts of courage that it takes to be a black celebrity who recognizes that you do have some power and to use it properly. When I say properly, I mean for the positive of mankind or, you know, humanitarian efforts. And, you know, they could have totally just blown him away and, you know, we never heard of who Bill Cosby was again, but it didn't work out that way. So, you know, I applaud you for giving him some space and having a discussion about, you know, the good and the bad. So I just wondered where it came from. Yeah.
And Mary, that is that's exactly what happened. We wanted to take a look, and someone needed to mention the contributions. I'm from Philadelphia, so I grew up looking at every corner, and there's Temple University, and there is, you know, there's a very deep, profound feeling that you know Bill Cosby, that he's connected, he's from Philly, he's connected to Philly, and this was, for all of us, we had that kind of pride. But the thing that really resonated was that he had done so much in the education sphere. And so, so yes, again, this is not to try guilty. We don't know. I don't know. Don't even, That's not my thing. I'm able to make that discernment about being able to see if to really look at the good. And that is something that is incredibly important. So, Mary, thank you for that. Oh, boy, I love, boy, you just opened up with a bang this morning. Okay.
Well, it's your show. I have to, I know that you have it, and I know that people need to know about it. So where did you come up with some of your titles for Hair Radio Morning Show? Because you've got the network, right? You've got the show. You have just a variety of parts of your brand. So expand on some of, you know, how one part of your brand led to the next part.
Absolutely. And I'm so glad you mentioned this, Mary, because folks are – sometimes they can, you know, we have similar titles with everything, and everything is radio and hair, and you're not sure if you're listening to the radio show or a recorded podcast or the live show or a 24-hour network. So we have all the above. And let me just tell you, I'm so pleased that you ask it this way, because it started out as the Hair Radio Show. And Hair Radio at that time was one word, so it was H-A-I-R-A-D-I-O. It was the Hair Radio Show. So it was literally three words. Hair Radio was a made-up word. I later down the road separated it. But at that time, it was H-A-I Radio, the Hair Radio Show. And so no one could find it. So I said, okay, I got to separate the word hair from radio at that time in terms of the broadcast. And we started out of Newark, New Jersey on the station WNJR, which was located in downtown Newark, New Jersey. And that's on AM radio. So it's called AM and FM radio. It's called terrestrial radio. So so I started on terrestrial radio. Folks, you know, these days they start on the internet. They're starting on the podcast.
Right.
I predated all of that. So I started on an AM station with the Hair Radio Show. And that was a fluke. I had already been producing radio shows. I started with a show on the West Coast for kids and then came back to the East Coast and started a
program. Go back to that. Was that the Fuzzy Bear?
Well, it was actually, it was our version. It was my own thought. It was called Fluff the Bear. Fluff the Bear was, and I'll tell you that story too. It's a very interesting story. But I have to say it really was the beginning of my whole journey. So, and I've never really told this story. And then I'll circle back to why and how we got to Hair Radio and the names and all of that. But yes, when I moved out to California, because I'm from Philadelphia, folks, again, just as a reminder to just mention, I'm from Philly. And so I went out to the West Coast, to L.A., to Los Angeles, to just kind of, you know, get out to the sunshine. I'd always wanted to. I'd traveled there many times working in the airlines. I said, let me give it a try. So I moved out to the West Coast back in the 90s. And started work for one of the major airlines, a legacy airline carrier, which is, means one of the old big-time airlines. And got with my coworkers, and I was inspired to create a children's character. And I was inspired by one of my friends who went to this super expensive school that you guys on the West Coast, all of my friends out in California, you know this school, it's USC. And there weren't a whole lot of, you know, wealthy black kids out there who were going to U.S. You know, you had to have money, essentially, was my take on the folks, the kids that went to USC at the time. And so my friend, who was ironically from New Jersey also, here on the East Coast, that I met out there in L.A., and so shouting out the folks in Hackensack, New Jersey. So my friend John and I got to talk with John. John wrote, I was so proud of him. I'd never met anybody around my age who worked for Billboard magazine on the West Coast out in L.A., which produces the Hollywood Reporter newspaper even to this day. They're still the same people on Wilshire Boulevard, which I lived off of Wilshire in L.A. And so John was working for, you know, Billboard magazine. And he had been they paid him extra, I guess, because he was already working there, to interview Queen Latifah. So I'm looking at his article, Queen Latifah. She's an actress and rapper from, she's still out there doing a lot of things. And this was in the 90s, and Queen Latifah was mainly a rap superstar at that time. And so they put him in Billboard magazine with this huge picture, and it's still available on the internet too, by the way, this article that he did. And so I was so proud of John. I was like so proud. And I said, if John, now John was also going to school at USC, as I mentioned. And so I was like, wow, if he can do this, there's got to be something I can do. And so I went into, out in LA, they have the apartment. And out there, it's a little different than here where I am in Brooklyn, New York, and probably out there where you are as well, Mary. But on the West Coast, out in L.A., the apartments all have like a little dressing room. So you've got a bathroom, and then you have a separate dressing room, which usually your bathroom lets into, and then you go into the rest of your apartment. Those were many of the apartments. You folks out there in L.A. know what I'm talking about. Well, that's very different here. I have never been into an apartment or even a house or anything on the East Coast that has a separate dressing room like that, unless you've got a mansion somewhere. So out there, that was the typical, all these old apartments have that. So I went into my dressing room in Los Angeles and recorded a children's show. I just said, you know what, let me just, I literally, in those days, you'd have a tape recorder. And I took a tape recorder and just told the story of something that was off the top of my head. And I made up a story being so influenced by, and I'll say that influence was from Winnie the Pooh, obviously, when I was a kid,
right.
That my mom bought me those stories. So I came up with the idea of Fluff the Bear. I never made that connection at the time, but looking back, and as we are now listening back, but yeah, I created the Fluff the Bear story on an audio tape, audio cassette for you guys from the last century. Over the last couple
Thank
centuries.
You.
So I created a story called Fluff the Bear, in which I was telling the story of a little child, a bear, who has great friend or these two little friends, and he went on a journey to fall asleep. So that was the whole story. Mm. That was the crux. Remember, it's for kids. You don't have to make it War and Peace. It just has to make sense to the little ones. And we didn't really talk down to them. We enjoyed telling a story that the whole family could listen to. And so I took this idea to my colleagues at the airline, and the airline supported us. They did a big article of me in their magazine, their airplane magazine. So you guys know
I remember
the airplane.
Those, yes.
You remember the back seats of each airline, you know, you
yes.
sit there and pull up. Well, I was on page 3. I'll never forget it for that month. And along with my colleagues at the airline. So we would voice the stories. And that led to so many other things. But largely, they had a plaque of me on the airline wall of my accomplishments. Mm-hmm. So the magazine. They had the picture, which I'll share with everybody. I put it on social media. I'll put it on our website at hairradio.com for everybody. But what was so astonishing is that no other employee had a plaque on the wall at the airline except me. And when I would fly on the airplane, you know, I would travel back from L.A. to my home, my family and stuff on the East Coast. They would announce that I was on the airplane and to turn to page 3 so they could read the article, and everybody would clap on the airplane.
V-I-P.
Well, that did it for me. That did it for me. So that's how I kind of – that kind of really brought me into it. And, you know, to think – and so I thank John for inspiring me to create Fluff the Bear. That went on to the success of the airline. And then the big news is – the airline wanted me to develop audio content for the airplane for children. So that led me to go to end up on Sunset Boulevard in L.A. At the same building where Atlantic Records was at the time. You guys, you know, may remember Atlantic Records. So I went out to that building, somehow I got connected with a public relations firm. Back in those days, I didn't know PR. I didn't know what a publicist was like anybody else. I was just like, you know, just going through life. And so I got connected with a public relations firm, and I remember going in that building and on the elevator looking out and seeing Atlantic Records on one of the floors and that, and going up to the PR firm. And there were no black faces. Let me just be honest with everybody. There were none. And I sat in the conference room. They all came in, and they connected me with an outfit that took radio. They had their own radio network, which I still remember. And they took my children's cassette idea, my children's cassette, and turned it into a radio commercial. And they put that commercial of my cassette onto 875 stations advertisements. So we were in 875 markets talking about Fluff the Bear cassettes and the commercial, you know, the radio show and the, you know, get your own commercial. I'm sorry, get your own, buy your own cassette. So that was my first time being out in 875 markets at the beginning of this and the 90s. And so from there, I was discovered in part by, I took that and turned it into a weekly theater show. And the gentleman who was one of the stars of the Amos and Andy TV show, now remember this is Los Angeles. He had opened up and created a very respected live performing theater called the Ebony Showcase in Los Angeles. And he was there with his wife and his daughter, Valerie. And his name was Nicholas Stewart, was one of the stars of Amos and Andy. So I went to the theater. He loved me. They loved me there. And I got to know his family. And he allowed me to put on a Fluff the Bear live performing show on Saturdays, and that's what I did. So I had the radio show. By the way, the public relations firm introduced me to a radio station out in Glendale, California. So I was able to put on the very first radio show that was on that in L.A. anyway, at 7:30 in the evening, called the Fluff the Bear Radio Show. And from there, that was all running kind of simultaneously with the theater show from Nick Stewart Theater, called, again, the Ebony Showcase Theater. What I loved about Ebony Showcase Theater, and again, you mentioned about the 6 degrees, is that one of the board of trustees, Nick Stewart had all these black celebrities as trustees of his theater, his board of trustees. And one of those individuals was, of course, guess who? Bill Cosby.
Bill. Oh, my.
Bill Cosby. So there you go, Miss Mary.
Wow. Now we're listening to Hair Radio Network. Or which one are, where are we? Hair Radio Morning Show?
Well,
which degree are we in right now, Terry?
Well, that's the thing. And I wanted to spell out the beginning. So that's how the Hair Radio Show had started. So I got that impetus when I returned back home. I took the success from all those cassette sales, moved back to the East Coast, and opened up office space in downtown Newark, New Jersey. And that's where I had my own staff. I had all kinds of folks helping me at that time with two assistants. And again, upstairs in Newark, it was really nice. Now, so I created the Hair Radio Show at that time. And the Hair Radio Show was really just the idea of taking, I thought I would just have a hairstylist or two give out some hair tips, and that would be it. So I assembled a staff. Most folks don't know that I didn't host the first hair radio show, even on my own production.
Well,
I had taken four hairstylists. Two were doing what in those days we called natural hair, which is what it is, still is. But they would do like locks and twists. That's what they were known for in Orange, New Jersey. And one lady, she was in Montclair, New Jersey, and she would talk about like the cosmetology side of hair care. Mm-hmm. And then I had another gentleman who was a barber, but I think he also did like natural hair, but he was like a barber in that realm. And the four of them, along with, I just produced the show, the first hair radio show, I just produced it. And they would talk, and they were wonderful. I love them so very much. But you're looking back at a lens now that's very different than in 1995. In 1995, we all had to be in the same room to produce a radio show like that, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
You could dial in, but it was you had to go off to a radio station in those days. So it was so hard to connect everybody who was in different places. And they were awesome. I love them so very much. I wonder whatever happened to them. I'm going to see if I can find them
say
hi.
Great.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I'm going to try to do that. I'm so glad we're having this discussion this morning on the Hair Radio Show. But, yeah, that's how I started. And the only reason I said, well, I love the hairstylist giving tips, but let me see if maybe I could do it since I couldn't get everybody as often as I wanted to. And I had schedules and things like that to adhere to for the radio stations that we were on down in Newark, New Jersey. And so I said, I'll take over the hosting if they'll accept me. I'm thinking, you know, as far as the public is concerned, I said, because I can look at it from the novice's point of view, which is probably it's the angle anyway that I wanted to have. I wanted to ask the questions genuinely that folks who need to know, you know, would like to know. It's the same thing I wanted to know. And that's what I did. Okay. I started with that in mind, and I took over the reins of host of my own show and creation for the Hair Radio Show, and that's how I started. But, Mary, with that impetus, or with the thought anyway, that I was providing content for just the general public, I had no idea that we were going to be taken over, so to speak, by professionals in the industry, by the product companies, by all kinds of folks coming on board, by the entertainment folks even hijacked us. But I had
Talk about some of the product. Yes, talk about some of the product connections and people in the industry that have appeared or that you've worked with on Hair Radio Network.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and also just to wrap it up so you know what happened after that, because we went from the three-word title, The Hair Radio Show, to the actual kind of like five-word title, which is The Hair Radio Morning Show. So as I said, back in 95, the Hair Radio Show was created, and I'm very proud of that, and we started again with folks, you know, the general public providing tips. But as we moved along, I left the industry, and I wasn't as steeped in the hair industry, let me just say that at that time. I got inspired by the folks at Bronner Brothers, which I'm shouting out the Bronner Brothers folks. I'm great friends with Bernard Bronner and all the people these days. But when I started, I didn't know them. So I went to the Bronner Brothers event down in Atlanta at that time and had a chance. I was so inspired by seeing so many amazing people of color assembled, great music blasting from through the rafters and all kinds of movement. And it was I was so touched. And then I got to know a lot of the African-American hairstylists who were there. They were off in their rooms. It was like a convention, and they invited me. They took me in and made me a part of their family. And that feeling is still with me today. And I have devoted myself to the betterment of this community, and it's never waned. I'm still a person who cares very much for hairstylists and for hair people. That will never change, and I'm glad that I hope that I've represented the community well. And so that is how the Hair Radio Show began, and we brought it back in 2015 as the morning show, kind of like a, you know, Steve Harvey-ish, you know, type radio show in which, and I didn't know if it was going to be accepted. I said, you know what? 3 hours every day, weekdays, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 3 hours a day live? Oh, my goodness.
That's commitment.
That's commitment. Mm-hmm. And that's how I started. And so I began, you know, producing that, never having been on this particular broadcast platform. But I started, and I had some friends, and they walked me through how to turn the buttons and hit the different things. I'd never done it on that platform. And I got started with show number one, which is still out there for folks to listen to. But the issue with that is there is a big difference from listening back then to those three-hour shows. Like, my first week was just chaos. I didn't know what I was doing and hitting different buttons and all of that stuff. Well, again, that was in 2015. And since then, we've had quite success with it. We're talking about, you know, like close to 1,000 shows later. And so I'm just so grateful. I really am. So you ask about some of the guests who were on the show. Again, early on, it was just about giving hair tips. And so I would have on illuminated hairstylists. So folks who had reached a certain level in the industry, as well as others who they were just sharing their success with other hairstylists who were on the way up. And I felt that all could contribute to better hair care for everybody. And that was the whole idea and the foundation of the Hair Radio Show. But I do have to share this. It all sounds like, oh, it's perfectly normal to talk about hair on radio. Well, yeah, it sounds perfectly normal now because of something called a podcast. But when I created and I first told individuals, I'm going to do a show called The Hair Radio Show, I was literally laughed at, literally to my face laughed at. A show about hair on radio? What? Nobody wants what?
You just got to know who you are, right?
Truth. Well, let me tell you, Mary, that was how it was looked at back in 1995. So no one knew of a word called podcast, in which podcast talks about all kind of a variety of subjects. Screwing in a light bulb can be a podcast. Well, nowadays, that's accepted. But in my day, again, there was no such thing as a podcast. We preceded the internet. So there was nothing but called like radio. And so I like to think of myself as, you know, the father of the podcast, if you will. Because that's what it was.
Oh, absolutely,
and,
a pioneer.
Right?
Absolutely. Oh, and when you talk about it's your day, I mean, it's still your day because
you
have not stopped growing and you've expanded just tremendously in the topics, in the range, and how you tie things together. It's like I know you have one book, but you need to make another book to explain kind of this rise and
yes.
How you process, because it is amazing.
Well, you're very kind. And yes, I do have a couple of things out there that's available for you guys to read, and I'll talk about that. But Mary, that's the whole thing. And talking about laughing at the idea and notion of talking about hair, I remember here in, I was in Jersey, so the Northeast, and New York, the big newspaper, we have a couple. We have the big New York Times, which is a daily newspaper here for all the city. But we also had the New York Daily newspaper. And that was just as popular out there. Now, these are not, you know, I call, you know, throw papers for the urban side of town, if you know what I mean. So these were newspapers that reached across the board to every walk of life in New York City. And I remember that at that time, the reporter in New York, in the daily newspaper anyway, they used to do a section called Radio Something. It was a radio section. They used to talk about radio shows back then. And he was doing, I used to read the man's column. I was so excited that we would be mentioned in his column one day. I was so excited. And so that's what happened. I remember he printed something about hair radio, but it wasn't all that kind. What he said was that, here it is, here's the announcement to tune in to Hair Radio Show, but why would anybody really care so much? Hair is so esoteric. That was the word he used. I didn't know really
That's
all
so
that.
That's so
terrific.
I'm going to have to look that one up.
Yes, and I had to look it up then too. But I knew it wasn't a pat on the back, so to speak. So I was just happy that my name was in the newspapers. It was in, literally in the New York Daily newspaper, just that one line or two. And I didn't appear again in the New York Daily newspaper until maybe 10 years later when I did a 10-year celebration about the Hair Radio Show. And it was done at this huge place in Manhattan called the TV of the Museum of Television and Radio, of TV and Radio.
Oh, wow.
And I had never – this is not a place where you see a lot of folks from the hood going up into, okay, I'm going to just put it honest, out there. And this was where they had been around for, like, years paying tribute to broadcast. And we're talking about broadcast, okay? And it is called, again, the Museum of TV and Radio. Now, they changed their name just recently to the Pelley Center. And and you can Google that out there. So they're still around, but they had a name change since we were there. They allowed me to come in. I couldn't afford to rent the space. And they allowed me to do a special 10-year celebration in their location. And I remember one of my good friends, Marilyn Bell, who is, she had a magazine called Black Elegance, B.E., that she was the editor of or behind producing it. So she came to our event. So many other folks came to the Museum of TV and Radio in Manhattan in New York City to our celebration, and it was wonderful. They had chairs. You could all sit around and listen through the headsets and talk through their mics, and it was beautiful, a beautiful location. So I've got pictures of that, too. So that was my beginning. That was my beginning. So you asked about hair products and all of that in my books. I recognized that I had a lot to share. And I tell all the fans of the show, even to this day, that it's got to be something that is real and true. And, you know, a lot of folks have gone on to emulate what I do or to be inspired by what I do. All that's wonderful and good and all of that. But it's flattery. But mine is really, truly organic. Like I tell people, well, you know, you're listening to the Hair Radio Show, my 3-hour live broadcast, which is Monday through Friday through Blog Talk. I said, you're listening to that from 6 to 9 New York Times, 5 to 8 Central. But that's only 3 hours each day. I said, I literally am the Hair Radio Show 24 hours a day. This is not just something I turn on and turn off at the end at 9 o'clock when we go off the air that day. I'm literally living the life of the Hair Radio Show. I do interviews. I book guests. I give people updates. I write down things. It is a full on operation, Mary, a full on operation. So that was what I generally
is amazing.
Do.
I mean, you still have to take care of yourself. So thank goodness you finally established business hours. But I know even when business per se is not something you're engaging in, you are still wrapped up in business things. So, I mean, we all benefit from it. So thank you.
Thank you. Yes. Well, you got it, Mary. And that's really how we started. The Hair Radio Show then morphed into the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're still there in that space. And then I turned that into a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week hair radio network. And what that was designed to do at the time, this was in the early 2000s when I first created the Hair Radio Broadcast Network is what I called it back then, in which I would literally have a hair radio show going on around the clock. And that's how I started. And that was way ahead of everybody, way ahead. The only issue at that time in the early 2000s is that many of the hair salons didn't have computers in our community. They might have had them in the other communities. We didn't have that many of that. I used to literally go and walk from salon to salon. In the Northeast. So this is not something, you know, I didn't just wake up and decide I'm going to do hair radio. I lived every drop. I wrote hand cards and would pass out things and walk and talk to people. I went anywhere I could find to get the ear of folks who would listen, literally. And so that was my big thing. It really was. And I tried my darndest and kept beating the drum of the Hair Radio Show out there. And we kind of kept on going from there. And that was really the generic start of how things kind of picked up. And my 24-hour network, I started it, and I said, you know what? I even knew that that was too early and ahead of its time. And I knew and felt it. I knew and felt it then. That was in like maybe 2003 or 4, something like that. All right. Good morning, everybody. You're listening to a very, very special interview with Mary Reed Johnson, where she interviews me. And this is what we've been playing this morning. I've been listening along with you on this Wednesday morning, March 23rd, 2022. Coming up at about 7:35, 7:36 this morning, we welcome back Jaimisha with Wig Radio, Wig Talk. And just real happy, she's got something about the wig-wearing woman. So she'll talk about that and tell us all about it. And then, of course, we have a special introduction with the newest member of our Hair Radio Morning Show family. We'll tell you all about a big welcome for Mr. Otto coming up in just a bit. Stay with us. A little bit more of this to go with Mary Reed Johnson. What a great little piece. Stay with us. We are streaming these days, and I'll talk about that down the road, about the difference between broadcasting and streaming and all of that, and somehow some parts are the same and so forth and so on. But our streaming network is what has really done amazing things. And so we're the first to have that, which is based in hair and beauty. So I kept that thing going on our new version of this 24-hour network. But now I get to put on classic shows that I couldn't have done back then. I get to air the entire 3-hour episodes from our amazing archive of Hair Radio Morning Show episodes. And so largely when you tune in, you have that opportunity to listen to some of that, to listen back literally to some of those classic episodes with amazing guest stars that you asked me about earlier. Those guest stars include folks like CeCe Peniston, the amazing Dionne Warwick, you're talking about folks who, CeCe Peniston is the queen of dance, sold millions of records through Billboard. They kept track of all of that. But CeCe was one of the most sweetest celebrities. She was the very first celebrity that I think I interviewed ever. For radio, she was kind enough to come up to my production studio, I told you, in Newark, New Jersey. And she and her manager, she came there. It was a 3-story walk-up. And I sent a limo for CeCe to come to our station in Newark, and she did. And she was just extraordinary and sat down with us. But the first I think she came to the production studio, and there was just one mic. So we were real close in those days, literally.
Wow.
And we shared that one mic, and CeCe was so sweet. She's the one out there, if you guys know, she had the big hit record called Finally, and so many others, you know, We Got a Love Thing and all these other songs that she had, just huge success. And she's still out there, literally. So CeCe came to the studio and did the interview with us at that time. And she, like I said, she was the very first to come to the broadcast, and she had huge hit records and all of that. And so from her, I went on to interview a lot of other music, local folks in music and all of that, but to have the kind of success that I would later experience interviewing folks like Ray Goodman and Brown, all those folks, they were on the show. And I think they started their radio show after coming to my radio show. But I went on to interview folks like Dionne Warwick and, again, Melba Moore. You're talking about Grammy and Tony Award-winning names. Gerald Austin, who also won a Grammy. I also interviewed the fella from The Four Tops. I interviewed so many people.
And their assistants, like the guy, Mary Wilson's assistant.
Yes, recently, yeah. That was a great Mary Wilson. And again, we touch across the landscape of entertainment and, you know, and political world. I've interviewed folks from TV and movies and all that wonderful good stuff. And folks I've been most inspired by. But, yeah, Mary Wilson that we lost not all that long ago, her last assistant was a big wonderful fellow that I had not known before this interview piece. And he came to our show and told us the story. He was the person who discovered this amazing, incredible singer that she had passed. And you guys know Mary Wilson. She was one of the supreme singers, literally singing right next to Diana Ross and the other lady who had passed away earlier, that they kind of made that movie. We're talking about Florence Ballard, who they kind of made that movie mm-hmm. Dreamgirls about. So all this. So, yeah, I've been able to tell the stories. And that's the other thing that goes back to all of this success is that being able to allow folks to come on this broadcast and tell their stories about their amazing connections with some of these superstars. So who else did we have? I've literally interviewed folks that I really wanted to know about. My other favorite big one. Go ahead, Mary. Were you going to say something?
I was going to ask, who were some of your favorites? I know one of them that I found really entertaining, and it might just be because of the story, was the glue girl. It wasn't her, but the one who helped her remedy her issue.
Yes. Well, that's a good one. That's a juicy
You're just
one.
Always really progressive.
Yes. Well, let me tell you, I've had many folks. Everybody from being on radio, literally live with the White House when Michelle Obama was in the White House, her stylist, Johnny Wright at the time, who went on to do his own TV show on VH1, with friends of mine as well from the West Coast. But yes, Johnny was on our show. He literally told us all about being Michelle Obama's hairstylist at the White House, and that was just incredible. I think at the time, also one of the biggest folks was Beyonce's hairstylist, Beyonce's dad, who was on our show, Matthew Knowles. And Matthew came to the Hair Radio Morning Show as a guest. He had no idea what we were really about. And when he got on, as many of you guys have heard his interview with us, he was so impressed, I think, because he had a chance to reconnect with his roots. And he told us about when Beyonce was a little girl and he had his family and his ex-wife, Tina Knowles. They had that hair salon out in the Houston area. So these were opportunities for me to tell, let them tell their stories. And but one of my favorites, because that's, I think, your question also, was that the gentleman from who was over at CBS, worked with the Good Times TV show.
John Amos?
He worked with all of those people. John is still somebody I follow on social media to this day out of northern New Jersey. But no, the gentleman's name is Eric Monte. And you guys, I was a little kid watching Good Times and the Jeffersons and what's happening now and all that stuff. And I remember every time I would look at the episodes, I'd see the name on my screen, Eric Monte. And I said, who in the world's name is Eric Monte? And I never knew who it was, but I always wondered who this Eric Monte was. And it took years before I would figure out that it said the creator, Eric Monte. And so that's all I knew. To me, Norman Lear, who was the Caucasian gentleman, was the person who created these characters. That's what I thought. But it did have his name there. It said Eric Monte, and also the gentleman who played Michael, well, let me just make it clear. It was Mike Evans and Eric Monte. Mike Evans mm-hmm. was the one who played Lionel number one on the Jeffersons TV show with the Afro. They later had a
You know, I am remembering now because he wrote for it. Yes, I'm remembering now.
Exactly. Wow. Well, he was one of the co-creators of, I mean, it's an interesting story that I tell and I played on the Hair Radio show, and I'll get it on sometime for you guys when you go over to our 24-hour streaming network at www.hairadio.com. You'll hear the story being told over there. But, yes, to get to the point of that, Eric Monte and Mike Evans went out to Los Angeles to pursue show business careers. And they both ended up connecting with this producer who is a super producer named Norman Lear. He's still with us. And, so Mike Evans and Eric Monte, and Eric Monte went on himself to create a movie that is, of anybody of a certain age, it is identifiable with our culture called Coolie High. Well, he wrote
High.
Based on his life. And so Eric, and Mike, and again, Mike Evans, if you guys remember on the TV show Good Times, the family's name was Evans. Well, that's why it was named Evans, because it was named after Mike Evans. And the little kid name was Michael. That's why his name was Michael Evans. He was named after Mike Evans, the actor and the writer. So so that went on, and the whole story unfolded. And we were so lucky to have this amazing – when I came back to radio, as I told you, I came back to the morning show and created the three-hour broadcast called the Hair Radio Morning Show back in 2015. I had the opportunity to interview one of my childhood heroes, and that is the incredible Eric Monte, who welcomed me back to radio. And along with his, so that meant the world to me to have, and Eric Monte provided a special message to all the fans of the broadcast. So that is something that I will always take with me. And that happened around the same time, the end of 2014, when the New York Daily newspaper. Remember I told you about the two earlier times I had brief mentions in that newspaper. But this time, at the end of 2014, they dispatched a big-time writer and photographer to my home area right here in Brooklyn, where I still live, and produce everything, to do a big story on me. That's out there on the Internet. It's out there, Kerry Hines, New York Daily News article. And that is still out there, and they did a big story on me. That was the same day that I got to interview the Reverend Jesse Jackson. And so, and his words were, "What is the Hair Radio Show?" I never will forget that. But yeah, that kind of told me, you know what, maybe you're getting somewhere, Kerry. So when I came back to do the live show, the three-hour morning show, that's the actual title of the New York newspaper, the New York Daily newspaper. They wrote, "Brooklyn hosts to revive Hair Radio Show online." I'm not kidding. It's out there on the internet just like that. So, I'm very grateful. And that was one. I also had some of the publications, like the New York Amsterdam newspaper did a big story of me as well. And so, and I've appeared in different magazines, hair magazines, you know, the Salon Operator newspaper, and a big publication called American Salon Magazine, which I think they're connected with a big international beauty show here in New York. They've had me on their magazine covers and for the events and all of that. I'm still connected with a lot of these people. We've become great friends over the decades and just been doing amazing things. But, yeah, that's been my life. That's been my life.
Wow.
And I didn't know I had so much to say.
Oh, wow. I bet we could go on and have more episodes of that, because you just scratched the surface of what even I know. So I just thank you for, like putting in all the work, all the time, all the effort, and enjoying it, making us enjoy the journey
Absolutely.
Too. It's amazing.
Well, Mary, before we go, I just want the folks to know how appreciative I am for you to take the time to give me a chance to tell more of my story. A lot of the fans don't know these things. I've never shared them like this. And I wanted to take a moment to say how inspired I am for making the acquaintance of Mary Reed Johnson and bringing you to the Hair Radio Network. And I know a little bit about Hair Head Heart, but what can you fill us in to tell us with before we say goodbye? What can you tell us about Hair Head Heart? So I'm going to switch the table back around.
Okay, now put me on the spot. Well, generically, Hair, Head, and Heart has to do, you know, top down, hair, literally the mind, the things that go into thinking about not only processes, but, you know, how to make your career better. So business development, career development, that type of thing. So hair, head, and then the heart is the passion that not only I have, but the people who are service providers in the industry to make that just better. So anything concerning hair, head, and heart, I offer services still. I'm not sure how many more I'll be doing that, but I still offer services, and I'm licensed as an instructor as well as a service provider in Michigan and Minnesota. But I'm offering more and more workshops because it's easier to reach people these days. And so, you know, look for different things online, and I'll keep you posted as that.
All right. Well, on that note, I'm saying thank you to Mary Reed Johnson, and we'll see you next time. Thank you so much, Mary. Outstanding. Great job.
Hi, everybody. This is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Terry
Hines. Of a Sway's Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Kerry Hines.
Well, you're listening to the all new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Kerry Hines. It is so nice to have you guys with us, joining us live on this Wednesday morning, March 23rd of 2022. I'm in Brooklyn, New York, as you guys know. And if it is Wednesday morning, it is Wednesday morning, shall we say, at 7:30 Eastern Time, 6:30 Central Time. It's time for Jaimisha. You guys have recently met Jaimisha. She's been with us for a little bit here on the Hair Radio Morning Show, and she does something called Wig Talk. I call it Wig Talk Wednesdays. So I just want to take a moment and bring back to the line the brand new incomparable Jaimisha. Good morning, Jaimisha. Happy Wednesday.
Good morning, Kerry, and thank you for having me. Thank you for the compliment and happy Wednesday.
Yes,
how
exactly.
Are you?
I'm doing great today. Yes, it's nice to have you with us, Jaimisha. It really is. And thank you so much. Now, I have to say, first of all, I want to kind of jump right on into the wig conversation. But first, let's just remind everybody a little bit about Jaimisha. So, Jaimisha, now where are you based out of again for the listeners just joining us today?
All right. Hello. Good morning, you guys. Thank you for joining us on Wednesday Wig Talk. I'm located out of the eastern shore of Maryland, close to Baltimore, a little town called Salisbury. So that's where I'm located.
I think I've been there.
And so I am a wig maker. I'm a stylist. I do a number of things, and I'm here to share about the wig-wearing woman. All right.
So tonight is all. Today is all about the. I want to say this: the wig wearing. And will you do one show about the wig wearing man?
I sure will.
I'll raise my hand when I get to that point. But yeah, the wig wearing woman today on Wig Talk with Jaimisha. All right, Jaimisha, Take it away.
All right. All right, I'll take it away. So the Wigwaring Woman. All right. So I'm going to give you a little bit of information about wigs first. I want to tell you that, you know, the wigs are not just for, you know, people that don't have hair. Of course, you know, it's great for people who don't have hair, but it's not just limited to that. You know, wigs are great for busy mothers. You know, that's the wig wearing woman, a busy mother who's always on the go, who maybe doesn't have time. You know, she doesn't have time every week to visit her stylist, or she has natural hair. You know, I get a lot of natural hair. They like to maybe work out, go to the gym, and their hair becomes in its natural form, and they don't know what to do with it, you know, and maybe they can't afford to come to the salon as much as they like to. So the wig-wearing woman is also an investor, Carrie. Did you know that?
Really? An investor?
She's an investor because she's investing in her look. You know, wigs are a look. Mm-hmm. They're a thing. They're a trend. I'll say that. You know, they are trends. But it's also an investment. So that's how I look at it from that perspective. Because
I've got to jump in and ask you about that.
Okay.
So
all right.
I've heard with the wig-wearing woman, you said that she is a working woman. Who generally has natural hair, which is, you know, she'll have her natural hair underneath. Wigs are not just, you know, and I love what you led in with, wigs are not just if you are bald, completely bald, and just walking around with a covering. So a lot of folks in the hair game now, they refer to wigs as coverings. I love, you know, I can always tell where you are. You know, I've been around for 25 years, in case you guys missed the first part of today on the show. But what I love about the hair folks, I can always tell where they are along the hair spectrum when they refer to wigs. Because quite often, folks who, like yourself, you are a wig lover. I don't think it's a secret to say Jaimisha loves wigs, okay? Right, and you share your passion with all of us on the Hair Radio Morning Show. I will have some folks on some end of the spectrum. We're going to see who will be nameless at this moment, but they will just refer to them as coverings, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, just very blandly. So I love that you give the passion to what you're talking about and the folks who have the natural hair. You know, so I think they've helped to keep the wigs alive by referring to it in often cases for protective stylings for the natural community. So great stuff. Jaimisha.
Yeah, thank you. And what you said is about the covering. In a sense, you know, I could see where they would be referred to as covering.
Yes.
I mean, you know, for a generation, quite honestly, so I get that. But it's, so much has changed.
It's much more, right?
Mm-hmm.
So much more.
You know, so much has changed, right? So, you know, it used to be where, you know, she lived in a certain area. You have, you know, only a she drove, you know, like a certain car to wear wigs. You had to, you know, have a certain maybe quote-unquote image. But nowadays, everyone everywhere are wearing wigs, and they're wearing good wigs, you know?
What's the difference between good wigs and not good wigs? I didn't even know about that. So what are considered good wigs or bad wigs?
So,
that might be a whole new segment.
Yeah. Yeah. So from my experience, I get people, you know, being a stylist as well. So sometimes people will want to bring their outside wigs into me, you know, and that's fine. I respect everything. So, but sometimes, like I tell them, you can't always, like you can't curl, the hair doesn't hold a curl, you know. Or it's, you know, the wig could be not fully human hair, you know, a lot of mixing kind of goes on. in the background.
Because don't they have the synthetic wigs, the real, mm-hmm. like the real cheap, yeah, I shouldn't say cheap, inexpensive, synthetically made hair wigs from way back in the day that, you know, they didn't move. They were just like a helmet on your head.
I mean, they still have those.
They still have those, right?
They still have those. And then they have higher-end synthetic wigs also that you can apply.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Hold it. I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. You taught me something. So there are, I thought all of the synthetics were of lower quality grade, but you're saying they have a higher grade as well in synthetic texture.
So it's not going to last you as long as the human wig. So I'm be honest, before, you know, years and years ago, before I got into, you know, fully human hair wigs, raw hair wigs, I would get, you know, sometimes a synthetic because, yes, they're inexpensive, you know, and I would be able to get, you know, like a bunch at one time. And I could, you know, switch off. But they don't last as long as, you know, a human hair wig. It could last you up to, if you take proper care, 18 months or more. You know, that's a while. That's why I call it investment. You know, because you're investing.
Exactly.
You have bad hair day, throw your wig on. You know, you want to boost your confidence, throw your wig on. You want a date night
it's
out,
raining
throw
outside,
on.
Throw your wig
throw your
on.
Wig on. Yes. Seriously, because, like, when I go out, listen, so the wig that I'm wearing now, I go out in the rain with it, and it curls up. So then people are like, oh, what did you do to it? I'm like, nothing. I went out in the rain. Like, you know, it's still pretty. So, yeah, I'm telling you.
Well, you know, so wigs are, the kids to me have really taken on the wigs, and they are rocking, mm-hmm. you know, young, when I think it's the younger people, are wearing the wigs. They're not just, you know, like I say in the promo, just, you know, for great-grandma anymore. So how did that happen, or when did it happen that the wig started, you know, and what is young or too young to wear a wig? What's the age? I've always wanted to know that nowadays since I see so many young people rocking wigs. What is the age that's too young?
I'm glad you asked that question.
And I just saw a comment come through social media from one of your new colleagues here at the network, from Miss Nicole, who asked, I mean, she made a comment that she was unaware that there were different types. And I just wanted to pass that along to Jaimesha. So thank you, Nicole. She said, great wig
Nicole,
information. I didn't know there was such a difference. Now, is that not nice?
Thank you, Nicole.
Thank you so much. Nicole.
And there is a big difference, and that's what I'm here for, to, you know, educate those who are unaware of what's available, because a lot of people, what I've noticed, they shy away from and they shun a little bit what they don't know, you know. And it's just,
she said you're welcome, by the way.
and it's just getting the information out there. And they will be able, you know, just be able to understand a little bit and make a better informed decision on what's best for you.
Well, now, you talked about the synthetic. For folks who are just joining us, they know nothing about wigs. What do you say, how do you describe the natural hair wigs? What does that mean? Where does the hair come from? For not natural hair, but the wigs that are of natural quality, you know, using real hair. Where does that hair come from, and how does it get on a wig?
All right, so that's a great question, actually, Carrie.
Thank you, Jaimesha. Wow.
Because a lot of people, they don't know, and they're, you know, they're wondering. So hair that is natural, that is like maybe curly hair, that is processed. It's processed to look that way. So you know how you would normally, so for a person that has straight hair, like a regular individual who has straight hair, as a hairstylist, if they want a curly hair, then I would go through a process and I would give them a perm, you know, which is a term, a perm.
Uh-huh.
So it's a perm. You put roll your hair on rods and you do a solution, and then their hair comes out curly. So it's like the same type of deal with the hair, because it's human
hair. And perm is short for the word permanent, guys.
Yes.
Even though technically it's really not really permanent ultimately, but that's another story. But perm is short for permanent.
Yes.
I always feel like we have to always say these things, John.
You're right. Yes, and you're so knowledgeable. I love that about you.
Oh, you're so kind.
Yeah. So and back to the question about the age, because I do want to touch on that.
Ooh.
About the age.
Ooh.
Because that's a big thing. Big thing. Well, you brought it up. But yeah.
Yes, thank you.
So it's such a big issue because, you know, you see maybe, well, I've seen, you know, 12-year-olds wear wigs. I've seen.
Hold it, 12-year-olds?
Yeah, but listen, hear me out. Yeah, hear me out. Hear me out because,
okay.
You know, this is something that I've thought about. So
yeah.
Sometimes I believe, and this is me, my opinion, everyone can do what they want, but sometimes I believe it's appropriate and sometimes it's not. It depends on the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Because have children that, you know, need wigs maybe, or so I guess it's like the situation. You know, if you have a child that needs a wig because of a hair loss issue, kids have hair loss issues and children have confidence issues and maybe they're trying to grow their hair out, they could go through some of the same types of, you know, issues that adults go through. So I feel like a wig may be necessary, but it also depends on attitudes for me. Make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
children,
I think,
you know,
so. So you're saying that, you know, because children, like adults, we, you know, have some things and challenges and issues that we might be coping with in our own lives. And having that wig, even on a youngster, just might be the, you know, the cure or just might provide some, you know, some much needed coping techniques and skills, you know, to help us to make it along the way. So that way we can deal with whatever's going on the inside while our outside doesn't ostracize us so much. I love that. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, then what about the kids who tease you? Aren't you afraid of being, or is it that the wig has to look somewhat natural so that it'll kind of diminish the, you know, the possibility of you being teased so much? Because, see, when I was a kid, if they saw your mom coming down the street and she had on a wig, you can best believe you were going to hear about it. You know, your mom's wearing a wig. Wig. That's what I remember. My mom had a whole closet top full of wigs. And so I remember those spooky white foam things that the wigs used to sit on in the closet. I never looked in there because it was like a scary movie. But I remember that. But what about the kids being teased? So what do you suggest, or how do you feel about that?
Well, I feel it's also, and thank you for saying that, because then that runs into coaching parents and thing right there. Maybe hairstylists consult with the people around you, because it also takes a certain level of confidence and yourself to be able to not care, because, you know, kids will be kids. They're going to, you know, some kids are going to tease. And as long as I feel like, you know, it's secure, it's not going to come off, it's properly installed, I don't think that there would be an issue. And like you said, natural looking, you know, not the wiggy look. And these days, the wigs that I carry in my store, they are all lace natural looking wigs. That's the evolution of wigs. So there are a lot of
options. Evolution. Mm.
Mm-hmm. There are a lot of options out there, and like a kid that has like a bunch of nice, you know, full hair, she just want maybe 30 inches, or she want it down to, no, none of that. Like, I don't agree with that, you know. But if there is a serious issue, you know, then I think that, you know, it would be fine for a child.
I love that. I love it, because you're saying maybe if the child is dealing with alopecia, because I can see that as being something that it would be very disturbing, you know, for the child to experience having to go with, you know, possibly patches in their hair or missing, you know, thin hair and all of that. Because children suffer from alopecia as well, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, anybody can suffer from alopecia, you know, not just traction alopecia, but alopecia that, can emanate from other things internally and or hereditary. And so real good stuff. Okay. Well, Janisha, I'm just loving this conversation. I love what you said about the evolution of wigs. You know, that, I think, is really interesting. We're going to, I'm going to just tell Miss Nicole, she's going to have to just talk. Miss Nicole, if you're out there tuned into this show, press one out there, and we will, we're going to have her, because she has got some comments for you, Janisha.
All right.
Nicole, I'm going to look for her. Oh, here she is. We're going to bring it. We have a surprise guest, Janisha, this morning. Nicole, who is one of the producers from the Vet Talk radio show, you have been sending messages. We have brought you on. Nicole, what would you like to say? Good morning, good morning.
Good morning,
so
Nicole.
You're enjoying
good morning,
this
morning, Nicole. Yes, I love this. I'm loving this. As Carrie said, I was sending comments in the chat. With just different things that you were discussing, and I love this. I did not know that there were so many different options with the wigs and with the human hair and the quality of the wigs, and just the whole discussion is just great. Great information for people to know, because I certainly did not know. And the discussion when you're talking about children, I'm an educator, and I do see children who are teased because of their wig. You know, you can tell it's a wig because it's not quality human hair. It's a synthetic wig. So I totally get what you're saying.
Could I ask you a question, Ms. Nicole? What do the children that are teased, what do they do after they're being teased about their wig? What do they do? What is their response?
Well, a lot of them, but the few that I have seen and had contact with, they get sad and upset about it. Sometimes they will say something, but you can definitely notice their lack of confidence, you know, when they are being teased. So it's very sad because, you know, children can be very cruel with things that they say and how they treat each other.
Yeah.
And they learn that from the adults.
Yes, exactly. They certainly do.
Yeah. Well, I have to say, Nicole, just that you are a teacher out there and in the education realm and helping children to navigate and to grow up and be responsible individuals, I think it's awesome. And I think it harkens back to that conversation that Janisha mentioned about the wigs and the children and having confidence. Wigs can bring that confidence, because I'd rather be rocking a wig than to have, you know, being cruelly teased. I'd rather that you tease me for wearing a wig than to be teased for my own balding scalp. You know what I mean? So kids are going to tease you if you one day show up with a blue shirt instead of a green. You know, so you know, it falls upon you as an educator. It falls upon me as a parent to instill how to, you know, you're going to be, you know, meet these folks who, you know, you may not want to sit and have dinner with, right? You know, so that's where it comes into play, right, guys? Am I hitting it right?
Exactly, and you never know exactly what is going on, because there are some children that are suffering with health issues. They may be going through cancer treatments or whatever the case may be. And, you know, that just makes their situation worse when they're being teased.
Exactly. Now, thank you so much, Nicole. Now, Nicole, you've been enjoying this wig talk. I didn't know you liked the wig
Yes, I love it.
Awesome. Awesome.
Have to go
I'm going to have to go find me one.
Yes, thank you so much for the information.
Yes,
Now, Janisha, don't you have, like, a place? I'm going to have to connect you guys so that way, you know, because Janisha's the wig expert. She can point you where to go and how to do it and all that good stuff. Nicole, now I just want to remind our listeners, you are one of the producers with Michael Hopkins Show, which is Vet Talk Radio Show. So we're shouting out Em and your colleagues, the Angels. So thank you so much for doing such a great job. You're an amazing producer. You're a great, great colleague. in this on
thank
this network,
so
and thank you for paying attention to what you hear. So okay, that's it. Thank you, Nicole. We'll see you on the
have
next Net Talk Radio show. If not,
yeah,
the next
week
talk.
Thank
right,
you,
thank you,
Nicole. Thank you.
All
so
right,
thank you.
All right, that is the great Nicole. We just appreciate her so much out of Water Valley, Mississippi. Okay, and I've got to say, you know, Janisha, so what I'm loving about this is that you never know who you're touching. I would have never in a million years, when I sat down to do the Hair Radio Morning Show today, would have thought that the conversation would have elevated to this degree. And it was inspirational. You really brought it today. Do you hear me? You delivered.
Thank you so much, Carrie. Thank you for allowing me to deliver on your show. Appreciate
Awesome job.
Yeah.
Awesome job. Yeah. And that's what this is all about. That's why these conversations, which may appear to be innocuous, they may appear to be just blasé blah, but usually it's tied in sometimes culturally, sometimes in an education type way, and sometimes some ways that we haven't identified yet. And
mm-hmm.
so I, in my incredibly weird wisdom, way back when, I've always been able to see that these were conversations that could be born. So
mm-hmm.
I am, and thank you so much, Nicole. She said, awesome conversation. Thank you. Thank you
yes.
so much. It's very much
thank
appreciated.
It is.
And great questions, great answers. Great answers,
yeah,
great
awesome.
Responses. So so now what is next? What's coming up on? Now let me tell the folks, and I'm so glad that this is where we are at this moment, because I want to inform people. Now, today is Wednesday, March 23rd of 2022. It's the Hair Radio Morning Show 689. Can you believe that, Jaimisha? We've done 689 episodes of this three-hour broadcast.
That's so wonderful. That's such a wonderful thing. That's an accomplishment.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Well, some folks, well, they think it's my entire career. I say, no, that's just the morning edition of the Hair Radio Show, the morning version. I brought in 2015, January 5th of 2015 was our first episode, and you don't want to listen to that episode. It was horrible. I was so off key, and I was just horrible. I was absolutely bad. But the whole reason I mention all that is that on the next episode, our next live episode, of course, we're back tomorrow at 6 for the next edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. So we have Thursday and then Friday. Of course, we're on the air on our three-hour broadcast. But then next week, I take a little bit of a host break from the live three-hour show. So the 24-hour network, you'll still be able to go there and click on streaming that at www.hairadio.com. Again, that's Hair Radio spelled with one R in the middle. So you can go there when we're not live next week. We'll have our streaming network, which plays a lot of our classic shows and things like that. So we're off from the three-hour live show from 6 to 9. We'll be back with the live show on April 5th. Tuesday, April 5th, we return to the airwaves after Friday. And so they will hear you the very next day on Wednesday, April 6th, with Wig Talk Radio at about 7:30 in the morning on that day, 6:30 for you guys out in Central Time Zone. So you've got some fans, because Nicole gets up to be, you know, she's in Central Time Zone, so that's pretty good. You've got
yeah.
some great fans out there. Yeah, so try me.
I appreciate
you, just,
appreciate you guys.
Oh, is she not a doll? And so all those angels, we're going to have to get them on. She works with Katrina. She works with Noor Jahan. She works with Michael Hopkins as well. We'll get them all on. You know, we're going to have to get everybody together at some point.
Yeah,
so,
nice.
Chinese, what have you got for next week? What are you working on for the next installment And pardon the word installment. But what are you working on for the next edition?
Okay, so keeping in the same spirit, and since you mentioned it, I thought it was a great idea. Next edition is going to be The Wig-Wearing Man.
Oh, wow. That is going to be amazing. Wow. I am so excited. She wanted me to just shout out that on April 5th, it's the Tuesday, April 5th is the 30th show celebration for Vet Talk Radio Show. So I just wanted to mention that. Yeah, so next week, hold it. It is the wig-wearing man. Uh-oh. Do I have to show my face?
No.
No, I'm just kidding. I better let people. You know what? I'm just kidding. Let me make it clear. I have nothing against wigs, and I support the wig folks, but I do not wear wigs. Not yet, anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. In fact, I have a head full of hair. Let me just officially say that.
It's fine.
Oh,
yeah.
But you know
so, yeah,
what,
we'll
Tarnisha,
talk about
before I let
week.
You go? That's what one of the misnomers is. People think that you have to have no hair to wear a wig. And I just said that I do have a head full of hair. But I might choose to rock a different style. And so a wig can bring that different element. But, you know what? I'll keep that in mind. We'll talk. We're going to talk off behind after the show, Janisha.
Okay.
So listen.
I'm here.
You are there. And I'm going to reach out. You have done just an amazing job. Thank you so much. I love the wig talk. So each Wednesday morning, 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central Time, please listen to the Hair Radio Morning Show. You'll get to hear the latest from Janisha. You talked about the evolution of wigs, good wigs versus bad wigs, the working women who kind of cover their natural hair with wigs, affordable, wigs at the salon. You talked about a trendy type investment with the wigs. You covered quite a bit of territory, and I think the most incredible thing you covered today was about children wearing wigs and what's too young, what is too young. So I think you've just knocked it out of the park. I want you to have an awesome, awesome time next week, and we'll catch back up with you in April.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you for having me. I appreciate
awesome.
You and the whole team.
Awesome. All right. Well, Janisha, speaking of the team, I wanted to take one last moment of your time and bring on a gentleman who I have just recently had the great honor and privilege and pleasure to meet. And I have to tell you, I'll let him tell all the fans of the show. But, you know, we always do kind of pass off here. For new folks at the Hair Radio Morning Show. And I have to bring on one more guest to the show. It's his very first time in radio show debut, so we're going to take it easy on him. I love his name because it's spelled the same way going forward. It's spelled the same way going backwards. And it's very simple, just four letters, O-T-T-O. Very simple. I call him Automatic, but his name is Otto. Otto, I want you to say hello to Janisha. And Janisha, greet Otto. These are our colleagues in the business on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Good morning,
hello.
Otto. Welcome to the broadcast.
Good morning, Perry. How are you?
Doing great. Well, you've got Janisha on. I want to make sure that you get a chance to greet Janisha and you guys. These are our radio show colleagues.
Hello, Otto. How are you?
Good, Janisha. Thank you very much for the warm welcome into the community and the hair industry. I Salisbury, Maryland. I travel there a couple times a month. My children live on the eastern shore of Virginia. And I would love to stop someday and meet you. Yeah, I go through Salisbury a couple times a month, so I'd love to stop and meet you and see you and see your services. Sounds very interesting. You're very thorough.
Yeah, thank you. Awesome. That'd be great. I know exactly where that is, Eastern Shore of Virginia. Yes.
know exactly where that
is. You do, Jarnisha? Wow, I guess I need to visit out there.
Yeah. It's not hard.
We
enjoy going there as well.
Yeah, we enjoy going to Ocean City, Mo. I take my son up to the boardwalk, different things. So I'm always in that area, and
yes.
It would be a pleasure.
Wow, Ocean City. Carrie, see, Ocean City is an attraction.
He's speaking the language, huh?
He
wow.
sure is. Yes, Otto, nice to meet you so much. Yes, pleasure.
All right.
You too.
Well, listen, thank you, Jarnisha. We'll see you back here for the next installment of Wig Talk. So you'll be back doing the Wig Talk on the Wednesday once we return to the airways. So that'll be April 6th, right? Okay. Jarnisha, have a wonderful day. Great job, okay?
You as well. Thank you. You as well.
All right.
See you guys.
All right. Thank you. All right, Otto, I just want to say welcome to you officially because this has really been just great to have you and to welcome you. So just to give the folks a little bit, where are you based out of?
I'm based out of South Jersey, Curry, across the bridge from Philadelphia, your hometown.
Oh, my home. All right. Okay. So how is that? Are you in Camden? Is that like a part of that nearby, or how for the folks? You know,
right outside. Currently, I'm in Hamilton, New Jersey. I was born in Maple City. Yes, in Hamilton near Trenton.
Yeah, Hamilton. I remember they put a train station there not all that long ago. A train stop on the New Jersey Corridor Line. So yeah,
absolutely.
So awesome. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, welcome aboard.
Oh, thank you so much, Gary. I appreciate the opportunity, and it was a pleasure meeting you. And ever since I met you, I have to say it's one of the, you know, your humility and the universe and your spirit is amazing.
Oh, that's so kind. Listen, let's talk a little bit, and then we're going to take a little commercial break and all that wonderful good stuff. Let me just officially tell everybody out there, it's great to have Otto on with us, and we just don't generally, are able to just connect with folks just like that. But Otto, I have to tell folks, you have just been extraordinary. I've talked to you, I think, just about every day since we met, literally, and you've just been so inspirational, and you've been tuned into a lot of the Hair Radio Morning Show episodes and some of the guests. What really jumps out at you from some of the things you've heard, Otto?
I'd have to say, Curry, pretty much my story, you know, 10 times over, every guest, yourself included, the journey. It's the journey of, you know, you visualize something, you have to realize it, which is putting in the work. And then if you're fortunate, you get to live it. And I feel at this point, I'm living it, and that is a journey that started in the late 70s, and I put it on a pause for the family and raising the kids, and now that I'm on my own and I'm able to come back to that dream is amazing. And one of the things I've learned from all your guests is that they had the passion and they didn't give up. And they just continue knock on doors and like yourself, and you don't know where you can go. You know, you don't know who you're talking to, and you just try to represent and be, you know, your best version of yourself.
Listen, I don't think that could be said any better than that. So, you know, just listening to you, it tells me you're in the right place. And I have to say thank you to you because, you know, Otto also serves as an inspiration to me because when just even from meeting and talking with you and just to know that you never gave up, it's so easy to give up. It's so easy. Good grief, is it easy? To push through with the unknown, the intangible, something that you cannot touch, but you know that it's meant for you. You know in your heart that it's meant for you. And what I've learned is that, you know, you'll meet so many folks, Otto, who they They just don't have your vision because it's not meant for them to have your vision. Your vision is meant for you. They need glasses to see your vision. And so that's what I always say. So this is where you have to have that faith in the unknown, the unseen. And then once you make it visible for them, then it becomes a little bit more tangible for them, and the potential is there for them to buy into your dream. So listen, great intro. You killed it, Otto. That's all I'm going to say. And so we're going to take a little music break. Then we're going to talk about some of the things that we had on the radio show today. We'll get all of that. And plus, what's Otto's long term? And why did I invite him on this broadcast? You're going to find out all of that after our music break. I'm going to say just keep it right here. We've got a lot more of the Hair Radio Morning Show to go. Stay with us.
You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines. Stay tuned.
Hi, everybody. This is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Carrie Hines.
Crystal Jones Vaughn of the Sways Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
Blame it on my juice.
Now we have a very, very special guest joining us again after about a year, part of the biggest news story of the last year. The Hair Radio Morning Show would like to welcome back the one and only Dr. Michael Obeng, the Miracle Doctor. Good morning, Dr. Obeng. Again, welcome to the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Good morning, Kerry. Thank you for having me.
Yes, well, it's my pleasure. I really mean that, an honor. So I kind of want to jump right on in. I think you're going to forever be connected to Tessica Brown, who I had to, of course, just to remind everybody out there, who had placed the Gorilla Glue in her hair and it became kind of stuck, and you had to remedy this situation and provide relief to Tessica Brown, so and helped her to keep her hair on her head by creating a formula that was able to loosen the glue, if I recall. So I just wanted to make sure and get that on out. So you have to tell us, Dr. Obeng, in the last year, since this all kind of became a big incident, if you will, at the time, what has your life been affected by it? That's, I think, what number one we want to know. How, if so, how?
Yeah, I mean, when I say your life, you know, our deeds, our thoughts, you know, are always, you know, affects us in some way or the other. And, of course, being part of Tessica Brown's ordeal, of course, people got to know who I am. But my life has changed because, you know, I'm alive by the grace of God, and I'm doing well. You know, so, but I would say life has changed. You know, we do what we do, and I've been doing this for almost 20 years, and this is one of the things that, you know, myself, my team, and I have been able to achieve. So, you know, it is what it is.
Well, now, you mentioned, it has changed in such a good way, and it allows you to continue all the wonderful things, and you have just done so many good things. Overall, you have been in, like you said, for 20 years, you've already been helping folks, and you know, so I have to ask you, though, is, you know, what can you tell us about Tessica's status, if there's anything? Are you still treating her? Has she had to come and do follow-ups? Anything that you can share with us this morning?
Yeah, Tessica is well. You know, her hair went back to grow, and you know, she
awesome.
Is back to life and doing what she does.
Awesome.
From time to time, she call and say hello and say thank you. And as long as a patient, always a patient. So
I love
that's
it.
The relationship that we have, but she's doing
awesome.
Well. I spoke with her.
Well, please pass along our well wishes from the Hair Radio Morning Show. We certainly support everything. I just love it. It's awesome. Now, I do want to, I promised I would ask you about the amazing charitable work that you do. The last time we chatted, it was something that really stayed with me. And you do so much. Can you please tell everybody about all of, you know, give us a, because you do a lot, so just give us whatever you'd like to share about some of the wonderful things that you're doing out there.
Thank you, Kerry. You know, so I've been running an organization called Restore, which is a nonprofit organization that goes to developing countries to do free reconstructive surgeries. It has been in existence since 2008. And since 2008, you know, we have been to over 7 different countries. We have done over 1,500 surgeries. If you were to put a monetary figure on this, we are talking in excess of over $50 million or free of charge.
Wow.
Of course,
wow.
I've also personally donated my own money to get it going. We just came back from Senegal in December, where we did about 111 surgeries in a span of 5 working days. So it's good. You know, it's good to be able to help people. And, you know,
yes.
I always with my friends and my audience that, you know, we can all chip in. You don't have to be a medical professional to be able to help. You know, we do this by people like ourselves spreading the word and donations that comes in that goes to power this charitable cause.
Wow. Well, I have to tell you, it is incredible to hear especially in these current times where folks don't seem all that much necessarily out there. There's a lot of who are, you know, trying to help one another and do positive things. But this is just such an amazing reminder. It really is. And we appreciate it. We want you to continue to, you know, stay in touch with us as well and let us know what we can do, because I think, you know, we can each do something to help someone else as well. So, I just wanted to say that. Now, you are from Ghana. I do want to just mention this really fast. You're from Ghana as well, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, and I mean as well as our. We have, like, a big show. I'm doing a virtual thing over there in Ghana on the first of the month, and I just have to say I'm so excited. So, you know, and when I was, you know, just looking at familiarizing myself with your research, I said, oh, okay, this is going to be nice. So so I just want to say thank you. You know, we appreciate you. Okay, so what's next? What's next for you? And you've already told us that you'll be, you know, that you and Tessica Brown are going to stay in touch. So you're always going to be connected. So we've got that. So what about for you? What can you tell us, Dr. Obey?
What's next for me is to continue to spread the word about Restore so that we can do more good across the globe. And people who don't have the resources or in countries where they don't have the resources for reconstructive surgery. Personally, one thing that I am very passionate about is healthcare. And right now we are working on a pharmaceutical plant in Ghana.
Mm.
We are building a first-class GMP, which is a good manufacturing practices, World Health Organization standard, pharmaceutical plant to make affordable drugs. To curtail drugs that are being imported from China and parts of India and Pakistan that is coming to Africa and is causing disease. So that's what I'm doing, and that's why when I'm at a job, and I'm working on Restore. I'm working on Micropharma Ghana Limited. So that's what.
Well, that is awesome. Can you come back to the Hair Radio Morning Show and all that's out there, and just give us an update and keep us abreast? That is such important work as well, and we would like to stay on top of it.
Thank you. Thank you very much. On the 1st of March, I'm done as well. So if I'm not tied up, I'll tune into the show.
I would love that. Now, I do want to say, because you're out there, so I love following you on Instagram and all of that. How can folks, you know, if you like, they could check in with you on social media and all that. Anything you want to share with, you know, with the fans?
For those of you who are listening and who would like to advance the cause of Restore, you can log on to restoreworldwide.org, R-E-S-T-O-R-E. Worldwide, WORLDWIDE, worldwide.org. And you can also follow us on Restore Worldwide on Instagram. Also, for my personal Instagram, my practice is my full name, Dr. Dr. Michael K. Obain. Dr. Michael K. Obain. You can find us on Instagram and Facebook. And, you know, we're all about, you know, educating people to empower people and to put their ease. Their fears, to calm them down, because a lot of people are afraid of having surgery. And that's why I try to get my patients to consent so that we can show people that it's not as serious as they think, you know, and it's helped a lot. It's helped a lot of people. So thank you guys. And you guys can
my pleasure.
Okay? Thank you.
All right. Dr. Obain, thank you so much for taking a moment out of your day. We know how busy you are out there in California. When I'm coming out back to the West Coast for a visit, I'm going to drop in over there in Beverly Hills, and we'll have to grab a bite or something. So I just want to say thank you so much for all that you're doing. Thanks for being on the Hair Radio Show. You've got it.
Now, Shelley, I have to say, To me, and this is, from the fan side, looking, it seems to me that there would not be possibly a Tyler Perry if there hadn't been, you know, if there wasn't a Shelley Garrett. So is that just the way I'm looking at it? Or, you know, I've heard other folks say that, so I don't think I'm alone in that. But tell me what your thoughts are. I know that that you have inspired him as well, I'm sure.
Well, Tyler is from New Orleans. He was living in New Orleans. When the show came to New Orleans at the Singer Theater on Canal Street, he came and saw the show three times. Now, that was before he was, quote-unquote, Tyler Perry. You know,
All right. We are back live. That was Shelley Garrett. We will be dropping in some clips from our amazing guests over the years. So you'll have to listen with new ears to the All New Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. We are actually live this morning. We are. Yes, we're live. It's about 8:30 Eastern time on this Wednesday morning, March 23rd. Of 2022. And I just want to say, if you're just joining us, then you may have missed a few things. And for the folks out, let me just say, for the folks out in the Central Time Zone, it is about 7:30 Eastern Time. And we welcome all of our listeners. And that's just a reminder to me to welcome all of our amazing listeners. Let me bring Otto back in for this. Otto, I just want to say again, thanks for joining us and on the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure, Carrie Hines.
Yes, thank you, sir. Now, I want to also take a moment. As I said, we have listeners from every corner of the earth, literally on our broadcast. We've been doing this for quite a long time. Even if you just look at Blog Talk, we have like 10,000 of listeners. You can check it out yourself with your own eyes. Those are not numbers I can control or manipulate. In addition to that, our blog, one of my blogs, has about over 50,000 page views. And that's a blog. If I have over 50,000 page views on a blog, you're doing something. Not to mention our social media platform as well. I'm on 13 or 14 different social platforms for the podcast that we have. We have a radio show, two radio networks, and a podcast. So we're killing it out there. And so just to clarify things, because a lot of folks don't know how expansive our reach is and what we're doing. So this is why it's so important and why, to answer some of those questions or comments, in the super teaser I put out there before we went to music break, or before we went to commercial break. So Otto, here's the number one question of the day. Remember they used to have the big, what was it, the $64,000 question way back in the old days before our time?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that was one of the game shows, folks. So here's the big question for you. What does this mean to you, connecting with the Hair Radio Show, or the Hair Radio Morning Show? Because you started out as looking for a modeling career. Which itself inspires me to this day. So what is this, why is this so important to you to be part, to be a big part of this Hair Radio family?
Well, the right word is family. I finally feel I fit in regards to my look, and you've welcomed me, and I listen to your show since I met you every day, and I feel like I'm connecting to the community.
Yes,
every day. 6 to 9, I do light training 3 days a week, and I listen while I'm doing my exercise. I think exercise is important, eating clean, and, walking with your shoulders back and your head high. And when I've done it, I do it each day for years, a couple years now, 4 years, instead of saying, if you get your break, then I'll get in shape and change my life. I changed my life waiting for the break so that I had the nexus of the hair and the body at the same time, the best I could do at my age, preparing.
Wow.
I've been preparing for this moment for a long time.
That's amazing. That's incredible. That's so inspirational and aspirational. So, Otto, one of the big reasons I invited you to be on our broadcast and to fit in with this family is because I so much wanted to have that strong, great voice that you have to be our official Hair Radio Morning Show announcements. You'll be helping us with announcements and kind of helping the listeners out there to really know and understand some of the content that we have on the show. Because oftentimes, you know, I don't want to – we have great things that we've talked about, and then we don't really talk about that anymore. So we want to kind of always revisit some of those amazing conversations. Like, for the folks who are just tuning in, because, again, we're on for 3 hours of the day. You know, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we're on live. And Mondays, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, you're listening to our 24-hour network over at hairradio.com. But on the live three-hour show that you dial the 516 number in order to listen and all of that kind of stuff. So on our live show, we have some great guests that we do, and you can be part of those conversations out there, fans. You can join in, dial in, listen, press one if you want to say something to us, and give your feedback. Like Nicole, she was on this morning. You guys heard her with Wig Talk. With Jaimisha, she was on and gave some great commentary and feedback to what she was hearing. And so that's what this is all about. And so early this morning, we kind of led on in with so much great content. We had Miss Dionne Warwick actually kicked off today's broadcast, the interview that I did with Miss Warwick. I can't even just say Dionne. She's now the queen of Twitter. As you guys know, her career has experienced a resurgence. She is a multi-Grammy Award winner, and she had time to chat with me. And when we talked, I just, you know, you guys have to understand, and Otto, you have to know this, that Dionne Warwick is a straight shooter, okay? She,
right,
I don't know
right.
if you guys know, you know, like, you know Aretha Franklin and all these people, these great big legendary women, and, you know, in the entertainment world, you got to bring it right. You cannot be, they do not take no kind of crap, nothing. You've got to know your stuff and be on point. They don't, especially when talking to, you know, Dionne Warwick or Aretha or any of those mega superstars. So it's one of the few times I truly have been nervous on an interview. Otto, I think that was my most nervous interview ever. Now, mind you, I've interviewed Jesse Jackson. I've interviewed Beyonce's dad. I was on live at the White House when Michelle Obama was in the hair at the White House with her stylist, Johnny Wright. I've interviewed the Gorilla Glue Doctor, as you guys heard a little while ago. I've interviewed, you know, Melba Moore, the Gap Band, the, you know, singers from, you know, Gerald Austin, who's won a Grammy from the group Manhattans. I've interviewed everybody, actors, TV, but my biggest nervous interview has to be Miss Warwick. She's so incredibly, you know, and she tells you like it is. She puts on no airs, none. So I don't know if you had a chance to hear that this morning, Otto Automatic, but that's what my biggest nervous. Have you ever had one of those times that you've been super nervous in your life, Otto Automatic?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And don't
March
say this morning.
March 23rd, 2022.
I knew Otto was gonna say that. I just knew it. Well, listen,
no.
You're killing it this morning on the show, and that's what it's all about. It's what the Hair Radio Morning Show. What I try to tell everybody, because at first you don't know. But what it really is, it's bringing what you already do, your passion. Once you discover your passion, the Hair Radio Morning Show is the home for that passion. And so that's what we're able to help you to cultivate that and make the connections that will, you know, you're part of a community of people who feel and believe as you do. And that's what resonates with our listeners. And it's from the heart. I am the same way. If you talk to me on the show, And like I said early today, I live the Hair Radio Morning Show. You guys get to have a slice of that for 3 hours and then on to our day. But my day is Hair Radio. So when you call me at 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock later in the day, yes, I'm listening to our 24-hour streaming network, but I'm still doing Hair Radio. And that's what it's all about. So, Otto, it's just a big, big thing to have you with us on the show. So this is going to be great. I look forward to you making some announcements, you know, kind of like throwing it to the commercials and, you know, welcoming our fans back from commercials and, you know, introducing some of the things that will be playing on the show that day and, you know, just helping us hang out with some of our guests here and there and, you know, just kind of helping to feel the sound. That's what I call it, feel, F-E-E-L, and S-I-L-L, both, feel and fill the sound. So it's great to have you with us.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the time, and I'd like to say hello to all the fans of your show, and let's have a good hair day.
Yes, we're going to make every day a good hair day. So thank you. And speaking of which, after we'll just keep it moving a little bit, I want to come back and talk a little bit about the beards. We got to talk about beard health and beard care and a little bit of that, and then talk about what's to come with that down the road. So right now, I'm so excited, you know, just to have, like I said, to have you with us. And we talked about some of these other legendary artists. Let me see if I can, you know, get on some of these folks who have just kind of really pulled it together for us. Well, I'll tell you one of the amazing songs that I absolutely love from the era. But this is a new song. This is a new song from her latest, yes, in 2022. She's got a new album out. Who in the world would have thought that? We're talking about the incredible Diana Ross and a song called Thank You, which I just love this song. It means a lot. So stay with us, folks.
Every choice and step I make, every word and breath I take, you're the reason my world keeps turning. Like the blood running through my veins, sunshine when there's only rain, you're the reason my heart keeps learning.
listening to the Hair Radio Broadcast Network. I'm Carrie Hines. I've got a very special guest on the line with us, Miss Alicia Marie Rivers of Jolie Magazine.
Hello, sweetheart. How are you?
I'm fine, Alicia. Welcome to Hair Radio.
Thank you.
Well, first of all, I want to jump right on in. Let's tell the folks about Jolie Magazine.
Well, Jolie Magazine is a beauty and wellness magazine for women of color. We have as our editor-at-large Vivica Fox, and what we basically cater to is women and encourage them to feel pretty and to live pretty, which is our tagline.
Okay. Now, how did this all come about? Well, first of all, I mean, there's so many questions I want to ask you, but how did the idea of Jolie Magazine really come about?
Well, Carrie, when I was 16, I've always had this dream of having my own magazine. And I've worked at different magazines throughout the years, and I said, you know what, there's no magazine out there that really targets us from a beauty perspective. So I said, one day I want to start my own magazine. So I got together with my partner, Rachel Breton, and we created Jolie.
Which is one of those magazines that, every single woman of color must have.
Yes, it is. And it's not just about what cosmetics you should be using for a particular season, but it's also encouraging women to, like I said before, live pretty and be happy with who they are no matter what they look like in terms of complexion, size, but really just embrace their natural beauty.
Now, I want to talk about Miss Vivica A. Fox. How on earth did you get Vivica to take part in a project like this? I had never known her to be so closely tied to any kind of a publication. So how did all that come about?
Well, when Rachel and I were thinking about the magazine, I said to her that we need someone that people can easily relate to, kind of like, you know, a best girlfriend or someone that has a great sense of humor. And Vivica was at the top of the list. Contacted her publicist, had a meeting, presented Vivica with our whole idea as well as a comp of the magazine, and she loved it, said, listen, I'm on board with you guys.
Well, I have to tell you something. First of all, I'm just blown over, and I'm sure our listeners out there, the ones who've already picked up some of the copies, let's tell our listeners out there, Alicia, how often does the magazine come out, and how might they be able to get a copy of Jolie Magazine?
It's bi-monthly. It comes out every other month, and they can pick it up at Barnes & Noble, Kroger, 7-Eleven, Rite Aid, as well as independent, depending on where they are, independent gas stations, places like that, as well as B. Dalton.
Now, how about the website?
The website, JolieLivePretty.com.
Terrific. Now, I'm terrific to have you with us on the Hair Radio Show. For those of you, again, who have just logged in, you're listening to the Hair Radio Show. I'm Carrie Hines, and with me on the line is Ms. Alicia Rivers of Jolie Magazine.
Thank you, Carrie.
Well, it's great to have you. Now, let's talk about some of your experience. I mean, of course, being the editor-in-chief, you have worked with some of the top magazines, I know, in the past, and it's really interesting when I kind of review your information, because I'm looking at someone who was kind of creating and trailblazing a role in terms of being a woman of color at magazines that were historically, you know, pretty much across the board, not necessarily, relating to one particular ethnicity.
Uh-huh.
So it was thrilling to see someone kind of like really trailblazing, you know, that type of role in with the magazines.
Thank you, Carrie. Well, I'm really proud of my achievements thus far. There was one magazine that I worked for called 101 Hairstyles, which was a non-ethnic magazine, and I was the first black woman to head that particular publication.
Wow.
So I'm very proud of myself for that, and previously to that, I was with a magazine called Black Elegance.
Right, BE, yes, of course.
I was the beauty editor for maybe 5 years, I believe it was, and that was a great experience.
So you have really... paid your dues, but you've cut your teeth. As they say, you've cut your teeth very well.
I have. And like I said, I always said to myself, you know, we need something out there that's fun and not necessarily dictating what you should look like, but telling you, listen, embrace your beauty, have fun. You know, live your life through pleasure. Enjoy who you are and what you look like, and that's what Jolie is all about.
Well, terrifically said. Now, I love that, that I think there was a line that I thought was just terrifically stated on your site as well. Now, there's something I want to ask you about. I saw you, I believe, on the Montel Williams show.
Yes.
And I think you were also with Vivica Fox, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, I was.
Now, tell us about that. And tell us, it seems like your foray, you're definitely getting more into television and some of the other aspects that are out there. Tell us about all of that and what was that experience like?
That's, oh my God, it was great. Montel is just fantastic. His producer, Antoinette, is fantastic as well. We partnered with him and did a makeover show for women. And it was just phenomenal just to see the befores and afters and how gracious these women were. And Vivica was just great to fly in and participate in the show.
Yeah, it was just an outstanding, and it was a great surprise, too. It was really a terrific, well-done show.
Thank you.
So do you see yourself developing more in that area as well?
I do. I've started to get offers to do more television, just to make a guest appearance. And that's something that I've thought about, but I've been so busy just in terms of creating the magazine and mm-hmm. doing things here and there that television's always been in the back of my mind.
Well, you have got a great magazine out there, and it is on the stands, and it's, as you had mentioned, in all those wonderful locations. We just want to remind the folks, again, we want them to check out, we want you guys out there to check out the website,
www.jolielipretty.com, as well as you can pick up the magazine at Barnes & Noble, B. Dalton, Kroger, Safeway, Giant, Rite Aid, 7-Eleven, as well as on the website.
Absolutely. Now, is there anything that's coming up? Can you give us just a sneak peek at perhaps what's coming up in an upcoming issue or two?
Well, our next issue hits newsstands May 2nd, which is our fourth issue, our summer issue.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And Vivica is speaking to a very good friend of hers, and there's some juicy tidbits.
Are you going to drop one for our listeners today, or do we have to wait till the magazine comes out?
You have to wait, but I will say a huge celebrity makes a guest appearance.
Well, terrific. Now, when the magazine comes out, I'm going to hold you to this, and I want you to come back and tell us about that experience.
No, I will. I definitely will.
Well, again, I want to thank you so very much for being with us today. You are definitely doing some wonderful things, and we want you guys out there to pick up Jolie Magazine. Again, the website is www.jolielivepretty.com, and my special thanks to Alicia Rivers.
Thank you, and ladies, please always remember to live pretty. You only have one chance in this life to live the life that you want to lead. Don't waste another moment. Live pretty.
Perfectly said.
Thank you, Carrie.
Thanks for being here.
No problem.
Stay with us.
Stop dealing with embarrassing hair loss. The Hair Loss and Hair Rejuvenation Clinic, located inside Kay's design team, has the latest technology in hair restoration so you can get your confidence and 100% real hair back by working with a licensed trichologist with the U.S. Trichology Institute and AMCA certified, and multi-therapeutical approach is used to diagnose and determine the best program for you. So book your appointment today. Call 316-789-0110 at Kay's design team at 718 North Baltimore in Derby, Kansas.
Are you a stylist, barber, nail tech, or involved in personal care on any level? Are you good at what you do? I bet you are. And as being as good as you are, that leaves you less time to handle your clients. I mean, as far as booking appointments, product sales, pricing, and all that. Well, I have something that'll help you on that end and still allow you to be great. ChairWatch. It's a new mobile booking platform that allows your client direct access to you. It'll allow them to book, change, cancel appointments, place themselves on standby, buy products, and even be able to send you direct messages. And that is just a taste of all the services that ChairWatch provides. Sounds good? Then check it out at ChairWatch.com, or you can download the app via the Apple Store or Google Play. ChairWatch, a new and better way to connect with your clients.
Absolutely. Okay, I'm Carrie Hines. It's Wednesday morning, March 23rd, 2022. And, of course, we have been chatting with Otto Automatic, I call him, O-T-T-O, our newest member of the family here across our Hair Radio Morning Show broadcast and our 24-hour streaming network. Otto, you are going to be the official voice, literally. Now, I've been called the voice of the hair industry. So you're going to be joining me on the broadcast, and our fans of the broadcast will get to know your voice quite well. So good morning again to you. Otto is always ready. That's why I call him Otto Automatic. That's where that has emanated from. Good morning again, Otto. You made it on through. See, all in one piece.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You made it very comfortable for me. I appreciate that.
Oh, listen, this is what we do here at the show. It's really about family. It is. It is officially about family. You know, it's about just fitting in where, you know, oftentimes our passion, you know, we think that we don't, but we do. And that's what it's here. That's what we are here to do. We're here to support one another. Now, speaking of which, on tomorrow's broadcast, you guys just heard Cade's design team. He has a commercial that plays here on the network. He'll be here at 8:30 Eastern time tomorrow with a brand new edition of his broadcast. So I'm super excited. He'll be on. He does something called Mr. Trichology. He has a lot to share about hair loss. Trichology means hair loss. That's what it means. And, you know, the study of skin and scalp and disorders and all that, he'll tell you all about it. Tomorrow at about 8:30 Eastern, 7:30 Central time zone, I'm going to see if we can make some more introductions with our brand new announcing man, Mr. Otto. So, Otto, this is going to be great. We'll see if we can get Michael Hopkins from Vet Talk to join us. Since he's off for a little bit, you know, having it easy until the 5th of April. So we'll see if we can get him to join on in and join us with a little bit more of what we're doing and what we're talking about. So we'll see if we can arrange that. So Otto, before we throw it to our what we call the outro, at the end of each show, we try to get on our outro, which is just, you know, some announcements at the end of the broadcast to thank everybody for tuning in. So I'm going to let you take it and throw it to the outro, which is just to thank everybody for tuning in to the Hair Radio Morning Show and remind everybody that they'll see us tomorrow at 6 o'clock. So that's it. So, Otto, you want to go ahead and take it away and thank our fans for tuning in and let everybody know we'll see them tomorrow.
Absolutely. This is Otto with the Hair Radio Morning Show starring Curry Hines, and I'd like to thank everybody for welcoming me, and I'm looking forward to an incredible journey, and I appreciate you all.
All right. On that note, we'll see you. We'll see you back here.
Well, it's that time to bring this episode of the Hair Radio Morning Show to a close, but it does not end here. The show continues over at our 24/7 Hair Radio Broadcast Network at www.hairradio.com. Now, I must thank today's great guests and our legacy advertisers. These are the folks who've been supporting our show over the years, including Dr. Raglan, Yolanda Raglan at fixyourfeet.com. They are the very best in foot care. She has two locations, one in New York City and the other in Maryland. I also want to take a moment to acknowledge the amazing Troy Ballard, of course, from the West Coast out in Southern California. His company is called Smooth Black Ink. Now, he offers the very, very best in hair care for the entire family. He is a legendary hairstylist and educator. And also, he's a program host right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. We just appreciate him again. That's Troy Ballard, a.k.a. Smooth Black of Smooth Black Ink. Also, we are talking about a complete line of products for the guys now. It's at Rugged Evolution. Now, Rugged Evolution Beard Care is the actual name of the company. Rugged Evolution Beard Care makes a complete line. I love their products. Go to www.ruggedevo.com for more details. Again, that's ruggedevo, that's EVO.com for complete details on their products. Also, stimulatingroots.com. Now, Stimulating Roots is a hair product growth system for women, for everybody, really. And how they spell it, I love this, is R-U-T-Z. Get amazing hair products that support healthy hair. And I say the secret is in their name, Stimulating Roots. That's really it. That's what actually grows the hair. Now, we're also taking a moment. Go to their site, stimulatingroots.com. Again, it's spelled R-U-T-Z is how they spell roots.com. Now, we're also thanking our entire advertising and promotions family for introducing our show fans to their great products and services.